coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who, like Dale, isn't gonna give up until he can't talk anymore, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our big Thursday edition of Rob Has a Podcast, the big recap of Survivor San Juan del Sur, episode number 6 here, last episode before we get to the merge, and we have a lot to talk about. Of course, we are going to be joined later on in this show by Vidas Bushkauskas from the original Survivor Blood vs. Water, and then we're going to tackle all of your voicemails with Michael Snow, Snowy, from Survivor Caramo. And so I'm very much looking forward to this. It's going to be a jam-packed show here today as we get into everything from Wednesday night's episode of Survivor. Of course, after the episode, Stephen Fishback and I got into everything on the Know-It-Alls. Very, very fun show there. Then this morning, I had the chance to talk to Dale Wentworth, who was very, very fun. People said they really enjoyed Dale on his exit interview. Of course, you could check that out as well on robhasawebsite.com. So in observance of Halloween, I also recorded a special Halloween podcast with the tabulator, Kurt Clark. We got together and Kurt created a Halloween quiz where he quizzed me on what a lot of the different survivors are doing for Halloween, including what Vidas is doing. And that quiz is up on robhasawebsite.com. It's our Happy Halloween 2014 quiz. I'm also very excited that we have a new RHAP t-shirt that's available for you guys to check out. People say they really like this design, say this is a shirt that you could even wear in public, where people will actually say it's a nice shirt, that people will like it. You could check that out on robhasawebsite.com, or if you go to robhasawebsite.com/bell shirt, robhasawebsite.com/bell shirt to check that out. It's $16 for the shirt with shipping in the U.S. You're going to be in and out for less than $20. Plus, we give $1 for every shirt to Autism Speaks, which is a charity I like to be able to support whenever I can. So if you want to check out those shirts, people say that they really are liking them. Plus, you can get them in women's sizes, women's cuts as well on the new Rob Has a Podcast shirt. So let's go ahead and get into this now. So our first guest today is no stranger to the Blood versus Water format. He was a standout and an OG on the original Survivor Blood versus Water. He played Survivor with his brother in Survivor 27. Here he is back on the podcast, Mr. Vidas Bushkauskas.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to be here, Rob. Thanks for asking me to participate.
Yes, well, very good to have you back here, Vidas, and I feel like you are exactly the right person I want to be talking to right now, because we have a lot going on here with these loved ones and people who've lost their loved ones, and as we're heading into the merge, and I remember this was kind of like your, where the Vidas stock was probably at an all-time high on Survivor. Well, of course, it's always trading high, but maybe it might have been at its highest point around this time when we were watching you in almost a position like Dale was in, of a guy with his back against the wall, really having to come out and make some big moves to save your skin week after week.
Yeah, no, this was definitely, you know, my high. Yeah, I had played the game so hard, and I finally made the merge. I saved myself in that tribe of girls, and then I think I just got too cocky. I had played it so well the first half of the game, and then I got to the merge, and I had Aris, and Aris said, "We got everybody, man. We got Jervis, we got Tyson." I'm like, "Are you sure?" And, you know, it just, being such a fan, like, I knew how to play, and it's kind of clear to me that a lot of people that are on this season aren't really big fans, or they don't know how to play. But, like, I knew what was going down. What I didn't realize is just how much of a marathon the game is, and you really can't take any breaks. You really can't.
Yeah. Now, it sounds like you're throwing, what do you want me to say? You want me to say Otis or Aris? I'll defer to you on
Aris.
I'll say Aris.
I've said Aris for so long. I mean, if you're in Lithuania, sure, you can say Aris. If you're in Mexico, you say burrito, but I say burrito. I say Aris.
I just need to pick, to tell me one way and I'll lock it in for the rest of the show. Okay, so it sounds like you're throwing Aris under the bus a little bit there. You're saying you knew what to do, but he talked you out of the right thing to do.
No, we both knew what to do. I think that he was the one that got swindled. I mean, I didn't, you know, I didn't, that's, but that's not on him. You know, he was playing with more seasoned players. Tyson, you know, pulled the wool over Aris, and I'm sure maybe Tyson could have done it to me, but I wasn't playing with Tyson. I had other people in my line.
Got it.
I was like, I got these people. And Aris was like, well, I got these people. And it was his people that were the sour grapes in our bunch. But we, our initial, that's the thing. We went on and we knew if we make it to the merge with pairs, pairs got to stick together. If we make it to the, no matter what, if we make it to the merge with pairs, pairs got to stick together. And we made it to the merge and there was a majority of pairs, but we didn't even try to go that. It wasn't even on our radar at that point, which was foolish. And now I see it now. They got, if they're going to go to the merge next week, there's, what, three pairs, right? Four pairs.
Four pairs in the game.
Yeah, there's still four pairs in the game. So, yeah. I mean, they have an abundance of pairs. I wonder if the pairs are going to try to stick together. And I mean, they should.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to get to the bottom of with you here. But first, before we jumped right into all the Survivor. No foreplay whatsoever. First, how's everything going for you, Vetus?
Everything's really, you know, I'm really busy right now, man. I have a son. I have an 8-month-old son.
I know.
He hasn't been living in LA. You know, he was born in Bali and then he was living on the East Coast with his mom for a while. And now they finally moved back here. So they moved 4 blocks away from me, which is amazing. I get to see my kid every day, but it's a lot now because before I'd just, you know, I'd visit him whether in Bali or on the East Coast and it'd be a week at a time and I'd get to kind of go back to my life and take care of my stuff. But it's great now. I get to see my kid all the time, but it's very, I really, you know, I'm joining the rank of parenthood in that I don't have any free time.
Yeah, it's been a theme. Talk to a lot of parents so far this season. Seems like there was like a big explosion of Survivor babies in the last like year, 18 months.
Oh yeah, get ready. You know, Aris has a young son too. Get ready for their Survivor costumes for Halloween tomorrow.
Yes. So I hear. And one other thing, Vetus, I'm always seeing these pictures of you. Again, I think we talked about this the last time you were on the podcast, but it seems to be no shortage of you doing yoga in black and white photos.
There is no shortage of me doing yoga online. That's true. You know, I try to, as a yoga teacher, I try to put some inspirational posts up there, just pictures of me doing my practice and try to get people to, you know, think like, oh, I want to be able to do yoga. He looks like he's comfortable in his body. I want to be able to feel that. And, you know, I believe in yoga 100%. And I just want people to be able to connect with that. And I just hope that sometimes these pictures I post are, I know sometimes it's really easy for people to think he's just putting pictures of himself up to, you know, toot his own horn and look what I can do. Not really so much. I guess there is like the whole selfie craze happening, but I mean, really is to help promote yoga and help to promote my business and help to, you know, try to get people turned on to it.
Well, I know how important it is to have that kind of lifestyle because, you know, a lot of people couldn't just sit in a chair like I do for 14 hours a day. And it really takes a lot of conditioning for me to be able to contort my body into this position for long periods of time.
I mean, and what's up with that poor chair? I wonder what the chair is having.
The chair is bad. The chair, I need to replace the chair. And I haven't gotten around to it because I need to do like research on what's a good chair to get. But if anybody has any recommendations on a good chair, let me know. All right, let's get back to Survivor. And let's talk about this Blood versus Water 1 versus Blood versus Water 2. Because by my recollection, okay, so you guys, what number did you guys merge at? 11 or 12?
That's a good question. I think it was 11. Yeah.
Was it 11?
Yeah.
Okay. 11. So this is a little bit earlier. This is a merge at 12. And yeah, now
this is a huge merge. 12 people. I mean, they've done that before, right?
I think so. I think they've done it before.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I will say this. I do think it is a little bit tough to have a tribe swap and then try to go 3 tribals after a tribe swap. Because I know for me, I got in a really unlucky tribe swap. And just skating by 2 tribals after that tribe swap, I don't think I could have made it another tribal. So, you know, when you take people to the, you know, luck of the draw, here swap tribes, I think asking them to make it through 2 tribals is enough and say, okay, worst come to worst, you get 2 tribals on an awful tribe. Can you make it through that?
Yeah, on paper, I feel like that they want in production, it's like, okay, let's do a tribe swap and then let's do two tribal councils with the tribe swap. That seems to be like par for the course of let's do two episodes after a tribe swap. And on paper, I think they're saying, okay, it'll be great if each tribe goes to tribal council once. Then we can sort of see what each side looks like to go to tribal council. Like, it's sort of rare after the tribe swap that we have the same tribe go to tribal council twice.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't have happened last night. I mean, if we could have just figured out a simple puzzle.
So, Vetus, according to my research here on Wikipedia, it looks like you guys had a merge at 12 also.
Really?
Yes. According to this, on day 21, you guys merged with Aris, Vetus, Tina, Laura, Caleb, Katie, that's six, Hayden, Sierra, Tina, Jervis, Monica, and Tyson. So this is a identical merge at 12 people on a Blood versus Water season.
Well, I guess I don't even know my own season.
You might have blocked that part out.
Yeah.
You might have said, okay, pre-merge, that was right where it ended. But no. Yeah. So anyway, you have 12 people here. Now, interestingly, you guys had six couples out of the 12. Six people, three pairs who are in couples in the original Survivor Blood versus Water, where this season we actually have a majority of couples. Eight people of the 12 are involved in pairs. So going into this, and we had four people who were part of pairs who lost their loved one, and then only one pair that got picked off. Whereas in the original Blood versus Water, we had, you know, a couple of pairs that just got totally wiped out. In that we had Rupert and Laura wiped out before the merge. And then also we had John and Candace wiped out before the merge. So now,
poor John.
Poor John. And so now we come in with an actual majority of pairs here. This is something that Stephen and I talked about at length last night. So do you feel like the pairs are going to come together, or do you feel like the singles are going to come together, or do you think it's not going to be that big of a factor?
I mean, I think with the abundance of pairs we have right now, you know, there has to be a line draw. There's so many ways it could go. I think if I was a pair right now, having played the first time, I would definitely want a line with at least two other pairs. Having an alliance of eight is pretty big. You know, I think that getting three pairs together is probably the wise idea here, and trying to just get on the right side of numbers. I mean, John and Jacqueline have done that with Missy and Baylor. You know, I think they have two strong pairs there. I think that they've kind of helped Keith out. Keith is a little bit afraid. He saw his name written down twice, but he's going to get back with Wes. But I think that Josh and Reed, I don't know. I don't think anybody really wants to align with them.
It seems like Josh and Reed are, of those four pairs, they're the odd pair out. I mean, there is a little bit of a connection between the Wes and Keith pair, that Wes and Josh have been allies the whole game. And then, of course, Keith went to Exile Island with Josh at one point. So, you know, they could be a swing pair. You could see a different formation where you have the Missy, Baylor, and John and Jacqueline thing on one side. And then, if Keith ends up swinging back to the Josh and Reed plus Wes thing, that could be a pair, and you could have two sides of four, and that would be very, very interesting to see. Then it comes down to who's going to be able to pick up the singles to go with them.
Yeah, that would be real interesting. Because if you have four and four, then the singles are screwed if they split, because say you have, like, you know, three singles on one, and, you know, what would it be? One single on the other? That would be like 7-5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then these singles are going to be screwed, because once these lines are drawn and they get a couple out, that foursome in a majority alliance is going to be the foursome that makes it toward the end.
Yeah. And the foursome, it's good. That would be really, really interesting to see also, because it would come down to the four singles now, which would be, of course, Jeremy, Natalie, Julie, and Alec would be the, and Alec, I feel like, would be the West, would be with the Wes and Keith pair, but I feel like those other three people would be more likely to go with the Missy Baylor pair.
Man, Missy Baylor pair. That's I just, for me, like, that's, I liked the John and Jacqueline pair. I like the Wes Keith pair. Missy Baylor, like, there's, Baylor is just so, she, I feel like she doesn't really show trustworthiness to me, and her mom is very, kind of runs the show in that one. You know, I don't know. That's a tough pair. I wouldn't want to align with them as much as I would John and Jacqueline or Wes and Keith.
Well, you spent time with a mother-daughter pair, a couple of them in the game. But specifically, you spent the most time with Tina and Katie when you were on the new Swap Tribe with them. Could you compare and contrast the Missy Baylor relationship to what it was like to play with Tina and Katie?
Great question, Rob. I got to, you know, they're so different because the thing with Tina and Katie is that Katie really had a good head on her shoulders. Katie's a thinker. Even though Katie didn't really play Survivor a lot before, maybe she wasn't the biggest fan. Yeah, I'm sure that Katie went most because her mom really wanted to go again. Her mom really wanted to kind of just make things good for Katie, make sure Katie was happy. And so I knew that the key to that pair was if I was in with Katie, I was good. I think it's a lot different on Missy Baylor is that I don't know if Missy really wants to placate Baylor as much. So I don't think she has as much respect for Baylor. Obviously, she wants to take care of her, but she's not like listening to what Baylor's saying and, okay, Baylor, you're with this person. I'll be with this person. I think Missy's running the show, you know, completely independent of what Baylor wants to do, which I think was different because Tina wanted to really listen to Katie and, okay, Katie, you want to take Vetus? We'll take Vetus, whatever you want to do. I don't think Missy's listening to Baylor's. I wouldn't. It doesn't seem like Baylor has such a great head on her shoulders. She's a really sweet girl. I don't want to be negative at all, but she doesn't seem like she's a real thinker.
Did you find in Blood versus Water that either Laura or Tina were as domineering as Missy seems to be with this season?
No, I think that just in her disposition, I think Tina is, you know, being such a seasoned veteran of Survivor that she was, you could tell that she was definitely like influencing everybody on the tribe. She knew she needed to have relationships with everybody. She wanted to, you know, have influence with them all, but her disposition was so sweet. And I don't think Missy has that. Missy doesn't have that sweetness of, oh, it's Tina. We all love Tina. No. It's kind of Missy and no, we're going to make this rice and I'm going to burn a little bit of bridges as I move through this. You know, Tina would never do anything like that.
Like, could you imagine with the Laura and Sierra thing? Of course, we all know how Sierra voted against her mom in the game. Could you imagine a scenario where Baylor was going to vote out Missy and how Missy would react to that?
I do see a little bit more similarity in Laura and Sierra and Missy and Baylor there, but I do see Sierra as slightly more independent as Baylor was. Baylor seems a little bit, she's going with the flow. And if the tide's going this way or the wind's blowing that way, like she's going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
And if it happens, I think she'd do it. But yeah, when she cries, I cry. When I cry, she cries. I don't know if that's going to happen on this season. I don't think we're going to have a girl voting out her mom. You know, we never know, but.
Well, with the whole thing with Laura, where it was like where Sierra voted out Laura, you know, Laura always said, you know, my daughter, she is independent. You know, I'm so proud of my daughter for doing what was best for her game. But I feel like if this was to happen in this season and, you know, Baylor was going to try to vote out Missy, like I feel like Missy would be like, young lady, you are grounded. You are not voting me out tonight. So stop it. You will be in big trouble, young lady. I'm taking away the car for the rest of the summer. That's it. You are not voting me out tonight. And that's that.
100% agree. No, I think you got the read right on that one, dude. It's definitely, she's not, you know, she knows that Baylor is not independent. And I don't think she even wants to let her be independent. She's like, you're my daughter and you're going to take after me and we're going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that there's just scenes like where sometimes Missy is just like staring at Baylor. Like I watched the episode again last night and it's like when Baylor is like talking, like Missy is just like staring at her.
Yeah, and with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a sneer on her face too. It's not a stare of admiration, you know, I'm so proud of her. It's, you know, okay, you can be done talking now.
I wouldn't say it's quite as negative. Like I feel like she's just like is mesmerized by what you know what is going on and with what the daughter is doing.
Yeah, I mean the daughter is a train wreck. Baylor's
oh no,
as far Baylor's you know Baylor flipped and she should have got voted out before. I mean, like I said, I would love to meet Baylor. She seems like a really sweet girl. But as far
Whoa.
As she's done in the game
Venus.
So far, yeah. What she's done in the game so far, I don't think is that exciting. And she needs her mom's help. Now that she's with her mom, she's making better choices.
Let's talk about the John and Jacqueline pair also, because that's another weird pair, because it's rare, like even in the Survivor couples that we've seen, like we've rarely seen a couple, forget about a John Cody and Candace or something like that, a couple on a Blood versus Water season, but like a couple who played together almost like a Rob and Amber or anything that is this touchy feely. It's rare. I feel like. So what do you think that's like, just to have that dynamic happening? And, you know, you can make the same thing with Josh and Reed, that they're also just like hugging and kissing all the time on Survivor.
Yeah, because the romantic relationships on my season were all destroyed before the merge came. You know, mm-hmm. Brad, Monica never got to hang out on the island. John and Candace only got to hang out on Exile Island. And Rupert and Laura really never made it to the merge either. So, you know, it was unfortunate on our season.
And Hayden and Kat.
Oh, and Hayden and Kat, that's right. Hayden and Kat, you know, I mean, I don't even know how he could still date her after she didn't make the merge.
Well, I don't know. That's
breakup material right away.
That could be what happened. I don't know.
It was a prolonged wait, but I think ultimately that's what doomed the relationship. You know? You can't be with somebody who doesn't make the merge. It just doesn't work.
That's true. But
that being said, I think they're getting, you know, I heard in this episode a lot of blowback of, I can't believe they're being so touchy-feely out here. You know, and a lot of people I've just read online and Twitter, like, you know, bad play for them being touchy-feely and being a couple. You're not going to hide the fact that you're a couple out there. Nobody's going to forget it. You know, whether you sit next to each other when you're eating or you sleep on the other side of each other, when it comes time for people to make a strategy, they know you're together. They know you're not turning on each other. So might as well just enjoy your partner out there. Yeah, you don't throw it in anybody's face. Of course, people are going to be a little bit jealous. You don't want to create any sort of negativity. But when it's this situation, you can't hide the alliance of your partner. You know, the partner, you have to really embrace that and say, okay, we're partners. Yeah, you don't rub it in anybody's face. And that, me and Aris tried to do that, at least, like, let's not hang out all the time when we're together. We made plenty of other mistakes. But yeah, I think it's kind of foolish to ask a couple not to be a couple out there. You know, they're together. Just, you know, embrace it. Accept that.
So if you were out there and you had a significant other, or if you were in a showmance, then you wouldn't really be worried about trying to hide it, right?
No, I would not be that worried about trying to hide it, because if you're going to be in that situation, I mean, if you're going to try to have a showmance, first of all, definite no-no, first no-no. But if you're going out there with a loved one for another Blood versus Water season, you got to know that if I'm with the pair, I'm with the pair and we're together. People know that. So I wouldn't try to hide it, no.
Because Jeremy talked about how he's like, if me and Val were out here, then you wouldn't even know we were together. And so I feel like that would probably be very similar to the way that if I was going to be on Survivor with Nicole, and God knows Nicole doesn't even want to be around me when we're not playing Survivor. So let alone on Survivor after, you know, a couple of weeks out there without taking a shower, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't see us too close together.
Okay, yeah, but well, Jeremy and Val, they definitely have watched the show. They're definitely fans of the show. Look at Val's choice to claim two fake idols. It's not like she's got the greatest, you know, acumen about it. Anyways, but at the same time, look at it. If I'm on a tribe with, you know, you're and your girl, or Jeremy and Val, and I'm thinking it's time to vote, I'm thinking, oh, who's with who? Am I going to think that Jeremy's not with Val just because they're pretending that they're not close on the island? No. Of course, Jeremy's with Val, and you can do all the pretending you want to do, but to somebody who's thinking about where the alliances fall, they know you're together. So you want to kiss or you want to not kiss, but you're together either way, and everybody's going to, you know that.
All right, so how do you think this first vote shapes up after the merge? Okay, so you got 12 people now. Okay, you have these two tribes. There's alliances from before the swap. There's alliances from after the swap. There's Blood versus Water. It really could go a lot of different directions. You know, there's a few different Venn diagrams that we're sort of like trying to see where's the overlap, and will there be a big voting block that votes together, or do you see it being like little factions that end up coming together?
Yeah, it's dizzying. All the possible combinations of what can unfold after the merge is completely dizzying. I don't even want to analyze it because it's too challenging to
analyze. No, you have to.
I think you have to look at what relationships are the strongest, you know, like who is really with who. Let's talk about Natalie's move.
Yes.
Like, what about that? I mean, I think at some point, if you accept that, okay, she's on a minority alliance, she's with, who is it? Her, Julie, and Jeremy?
Yes.
Is that the three, right? If the blue tribe, if Hunahpu would have gone to tribal council, would have been one of them three, right?
Yes.
we can just assume
unless Alec was able to swing over, because he's the fourth person who was a single in that group. You know, there was a lot in the last episode of Jeremy and Natalie trying to get Alec to come over and see, like, what, like, you know, why are you with them? Why wouldn't you come with us? Where are all the other people that got their loved one voted out? But then this week, they didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like Alec was just like hanging with Wes, and I don't know. Yeah, we don't know what had happened, but I mean, it's a really bold move for Natalie to do that. On one hand, you could say it was too strategic, and it put everybody's, you know, it raised the flag on every single person out there, like, wow, she's really playing this game hard. She wants to miss an amazing reward and go out there to bond with Baylor. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, hindsight, all right, well, Baylor's coming to the merge now with her mom. And, you know, that was actually, when I first saw her do that, I thought that was ridiculous and it was a stupid move.
See, but I liked it.
Now looking forward, it was a great move. Like, I don't think she really alienated many people on her tribe that much. I think she's, you know, just making more relationships and creating more relationships. Good for her.
I think it was a good gamble for a couple of reasons. One, that she's in an alliance with Julie. They need Julie as a number. And it really did seem like that the thread was there that Julie is close to wanting out of the game. And Exile Island could potentially break Julie. So let me do this. It's twofold, because let me, you know, give Julie the reward, let her eat the barbecue, and maybe that helps build some strength up. That part did not work out, but you can see the logic behind it. But yeah. Also, it's like, let me go and take care of Baylor. And so, you know, the godfather over there, Missy, sees that and she does not make me one of her targets when we get to the merge. So I liked it, and it didn't seem like it hurt her position in the game. I hear what you're saying, that people could say, boy, that Natalie's really playing hard. But we didn't see one confessional from anybody who said that.
Well, we didn't see a lot of confessionals from that tribe because they didn't have to go to tribal council. You know, I mean, there's so much people say that we don't get to see in general. I do agree. I think that there already were flags raised based on how her and her sister played race. Everybody already knows she's super strategic. So I don't think it was shocking to people. But yeah, I think it was double-edged, but it looks like she's going to get the best out of it.
Yeah, I think she's going to be okay.
So I don't see her, you know, if she's with Missy and Baylor, and Missy and Baylor stay with John and Jacqueline, and John and Jacqueline can get one more, if they can get one more pair on their side, I mean, I see Josh and Reed being a big threat. I think that Josh and Reed could be the Vetus and Aris of Blood versus Water 2.
Oh my God.
Here are two guys that are really strong, smart, they're thinkers, they're athletic. I think they're going to, you know, if Jeremy's smart, and Jeremy is definitely a thinker, he's going to go, you know, plant some seeds and say, we need to get these guys out. They're too big of a threat to move forward in this game. They're going to win, especially if these guys, you know, try hard in the immunity challenge and one of them wins immunity.
I totally agree. I'm on the same page with you about this, because I feel like no matter how you slice this up, that all signs point to being that Josh and Reed are in the crosshairs right now, because the way that this splits up, even if it's like the, you know, the old Jeremy alliance reforms back together, you know, who are they going to go after? It's either John and Jacqueline or Josh and Reed. Or then if you have the alliances of the couples, but you have Missy there, if she's going to pick up Natalie, and Natalie's tightest ally is Jeremy, again, who's the odd people out? It comes back to Josh and Reed being in that. And again, these male-male couples after the merge in a Blood versus Water season, Vetus, can a male-male couple survive? How far can they go in a Blood versus Water season?
Well, here's what I think their best play would be, to link up with John and Jacqueline, because John and Jacqueline are the other strongest couple because of John. I mean, John is ridiculous. He's a very athletic guy. I mean, he should have finished that puzzle and won, you know, the challenge for them for Kaopa, but he didn't. I think that for Josh and Reed to stay strong, they need to link up with another strong couple, you know, and really take some of the target off their back and be just a, you know, get in a strong alliance. Otherwise, if they don't recognize that they're a huge threat, then they're out right away. They can do it, but they just have to recognize how big of a target they are right now. If they don't see that, if they try to fly under the radar, they're going to be gone.
But do you feel like they're just getting their marching orders from Missy?
John and Jacqueline?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, John, he seems like, he went right to her and said, hey, Dale showed me the idol. Like, he gave her all his information, which I don't like, but I don't, you know, I would want to think they're a little bit more independent than that.
But the fact that he told Missy about that Dale has the idol and he says he'll give it to me, and Missy was like, no, we don't need an idol. Stop it. We're voting him out right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see more of the, when the merge comes, we're really going to see who's with who and how tight that alliance is. I mean, I think that John and Jacqueline at this point just wanted to stay with another pair. You know, they're like, well, we had to choose pairs, and they didn't want to get Missy out because they just knew they needed the strength of another pair.
Let me ask you about things from Jeremy's perspective. If you're Jeremy here, okay, he just needed to survive to the merge, but now he's at the merge. What's his play? Because I kind of feel like it's a trap for him to get involved with voting out Josh and Reed. Like, I could see this next week's vote coming up and they're being like, okay, Missy is like, oh, Jeremy, so good to see you again. So great to have you and Natalie back with us. And Jeremy and Natalie and Missy and Baylor and John and Jacqueline and Wes and Keith, or maybe not Wes and Keith, but they probably end up, when push comes to shove, say like, hey, if everybody's doing it, why don't we vote for either Josh or Reed this week? But then I feel like after that happens, I feel like Jeremy could be one of the targets that happens after.
I think Jeremy could be the Tyson of this season if he plays.
Whoa.
Tyson, I'm not saying he's going to win, but Tyson was a strong, athletic, smart guy. And what Tyson did when we got to the merge was he said, look at Vetus and Aris. Look at, like, we got to get them out. So there was a line that was drawn, you know, it was 7-5. They got Aris out, and that's where it went down. You know, like they drew that line and then they continued to hug their seven. Like, if Jeremy can just, he is a threat, but the best thing to do if you're a threat is to show somebody a bigger threat, you know, and
he's
going to go around and say, hey, you guys, you know, like, our biggest threat right now is Josh and Reed. These guys can take the game over. They're pairs. There's a lot of pairs. We just need to get their pairs. He can even still tell the pairs, like, even after we get them out, the pairs will be in the majority, you know, but Josh and Reed, he's just got to show a bigger target than him so he can fly under there. That's why I wanted Brad Culpepper around for so long. I was so bummed he went out early, because Brad was been an amazing target to hide behind.
And while I agree that he could definitely pull that move off and get either Josh and Reed or Josh or Reed, get one of them gone, I do feel like, though, if he gets to the point, then what's his next move after that? Okay, let's pretend, you know, Julie, we don't know what her status is going to be. It's not looking good for her longevity in the game. Let's not even worry about her. Then let's say Josh and Reed, let's say they go out next. What would Jeremy's move be as we get towards, like, final nine? Let's say it's final nine, and we have those three pairs, plus we have Jeremy and Natalie and Alec at that point.
Yeah, he's got to playing it as it comes at this point for Jeremy. It's really looking at who's left. And, you know, like I've always said, the best thing on this show is to enact your plan, but while convincing somebody else that it's their best plan.
Yeah.
You know, he has to tell other people, like, here's the way for you to get to the end. There's going to be, you know, he just has to find somebody he can convince that, you know, taking him to the end will be their best play. And I think there's a couple ways to do that, especially with so many pairs. You know, whether it comes down to a pair against a pair, that last single left is going to be the swing vote.
Yeah.
You know? There's always one single around that can be a good vote. Or maybe the three singles should band together. You know, maybe him, Julie, and Natalie should really say, hey, let's band together as singles and let's, you know, let's try to create a threesome for our own. I don't know what his plan would be, but he seems like he's a smart enough player. As long as he also seems easily annoyed, which is going to get him in trouble.
He's always annoyed. He's like, oh my God, these guys are so stupid. Like, he's always,
I can't believe we gave up our tarp, yo.
Like, what are they doing?
Yeah,
that's why he's such good friends with Natalie, because she's like, oh my God, what are they doing? They're so stupid. He's like, I know.
Yeah, especially right now when there's so many ways it could go, you just don't want to be an asshole. Nobody wants to.
Well, he's doing it in confessional. I will say that. Yeah. He's not doing it in front of everybody. And I think that you make a lot of really, really good points. And I think that there's one single that is going to end up being able to be a swing vote and being in a very, very powerful position. I just don't think that Jeremy's going to be the guy that they're not going to let him be around long enough to do it. I think that could be Natalie. I think that could be, it could potentially be Alec. I don't think it's going to be Alec. But Alec, it could be.
Seems so like, oh, okay, whatever, man. Yeah, I'm down.
You know,
oh,
it could be either Josh or Reed after the other one goes out, you know, where they don't go after them back to back. Like, it could be one of these other people that their loved one gets voted out and they're remaining in the game. I do think that there's going to be a shift at some point. I just don't know if Jeremy's going to be around long enough to do it. And you made a really interesting observation comparing Jeremy to Tyson. And interestingly enough, both of them had their loved one go out second in the game, and they were able to pick up the pieces. And that's almost the same exact blueprint that Jeremy has done in this game, where look at his allies in the game. They're Natalie, who their loved one got voted off first, just exactly the same as Tyson and Jervis, where Jervis's loved one got voted off first. And then also another one of his allies is Julie, the same thing with Brad Culpepper and John Rocker. So he's following the Tyson blueprint exactly, that he has the alliance of people who are in the singles. But I feel like Tyson was able to have more pawns on the board, other people who lost their loved ones.
Yeah, Natalie and Julie are pawns. He's got two pawns. Tyson had Jervis and Monica, which were his two pawns. And that's not to say they weren't thinking, but they weren't willing to go against him. Let's do it.
Tyson got Hayden then, and he got Caleb, and he was able to pick up Sierra along the way. Like, who are the Hayden and Caleb and Sierra for Jeremy at this point?
That's his play. He's got to figure that out. He's got to figure that out real quick.
Got to figure that out. It's going to be a fun merch. I'm very excited for the merch.
Yeah. It's just 12 people. There's so many different ways it could go. It's dizzying, bro.
I love the merch episode.
Yeah.
That's always one of my favorites. Love the
merch feast. I love the merch feast.
Why do you like the merch feast so much?
Because it tastes so good.
You love to eat the merch feast.
Yes.
Tell me about the rice stuff, Vetus. As a former survivor, is it driving you crazy what they're doing with the rice this season?
Well, I have to say I was on a pretty easy season, Rob. So for me, I wish our season would have been more challenging. You know, I've been a fan of the show since the beginning, and there were seasons where nobody got rice. And I know some people say, well, they have to give them some rice. They can't let them starve. And I get that from production. If they're starving so bad, then they're not even strategizing anymore. You want to have some sort of sustenance just so they have energy to play the game. But I wanted my game to be harder.
What did you get?
It didn't even rain. We showed up to a bag of rice, a Hawaiian sling, swim fins, and a mask so we could fish. We had a saw, a hammer, nails, rope. We had everything but a flint from day one. And it was a big bag of rice, and we made it last. But even I wanted there to be less rice. I wanted there to be hard rain. I wanted people to struggle. I wanted people like Julie, who really shouldn't be out there, to be struggling. Because guess what? She's using all of her energy just to stay. And that's when people who can really handle the elements can use those people as pawns.
Okay. That's really, really interesting. I wonder why they did that in the original Blood versus Water. I wonder if they felt like, oh, maybe the loved ones aren't going to be that into it. Maybe we need
That's what I think they do. It was like, okay, we have some people that really want to be here and some people that are just loved ones. And if we make it too hard, the loved ones are going to quit.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's really a different way to look at the way that they do some of these things.
It's a pretty awful precedent, though, to know that at any moment in the game now, you can trade for rice.
Oh, yeah. Vetus, if you went back and played Survivor, and I think we'll all be robbed if at some point we don't get to see a Vetus return to Survivor. When you show up on the beach day one that somebody is sitting there, Dale's in the kitchen, and he's like, we're not eating all this rice today. Are you saying, like, hold on a second there. Let's eat.
I will be in the eat camp, but I don't think I will ever be spearheading anything on Survivor, because that is just one thing you don't really want to, unless it's going to take care of everybody. I don't want to go against a Dale person. You know, knowing what I know about the game is that with tribe swaps, with alliances being, you know, set and reset, you never want to alienate anybody. So I for me, take it all away. Let us starve out there. Let us really suffer. And then see who comes out on top. I think they should have a season saying, you know, they have all these interesting themes. Like, take it back to a season that's hard Survivor.
Hard Survivor.
Nothing. You get nothing out there. Like, you can earn flint after maybe the second tribal. You have two tribals without fire. Make it more challenging for them. It's too easy. It's a cakewalk.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some of these questions that come into us from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast for Vetus. Of course, every week on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Rob has a podcast. Chris Williams wants to know, Vetus, what are your thoughts on quitters? I hope your response is anger filled, like when Jeff asked you if you were upset after your tribe voted out Aris. And bonus question, did you ever apply to Survivor before Blood versus Water?
You know, I'll go with the bonus question first. I never applied to Survivor before Blood versus Water because, well, when I first was a fan of the show, before Aris even went on, I knew that my felony conviction, when I went to prison for a year, I had a felony conviction, I wouldn't get on. It's like, okay, this guy's been to prison for a year. He's never going to be able to get on the show. Eventually, that felony, it was like a wobbler felony, got dropped to like a misdemeanor. But then Aris went on the show. And I remember talking to casting, and casting said, we have to have diversity in our applicant pool, and we can't just cast like siblings of people to get on there. You're probably never going to get on. So that's why when Blood versus Water rolled around and Aris was like, hey, they're casting for this thing. Do you want a family member? Are you in? I can't tell you. I probably pissed my pants a little bit. I was so excited to get home and make a video to send it in.
Yeah. So you had to make a video?
I had to make a video. The first video we sent in was me telling my story, sent it into casting, and they said, that's the most boring thing we've ever seen. You want to send us back another one or else you can just not come on the show? And so we sent back another video, which was me and Aris playing good cop, bad cop. And that was fun. And they liked that.
Who was the bad cop? You?
Of course, it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I angry at quitters? Of course I'm angry at quitters. You know how hard it is to get on the show? You know how many people want to play the show and then to get on there and quit? If I'm playing and somebody quits, I'm not as angry. As a fan, I'm irate. But if I'm playing and somebody asks me quits, that's just one less person I have to compete against. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But as a fan, yeah, it's awful. Yeah, I want to see people that want to play, you know, and I want to see people that are willing to do anything to stay on the show. You know, it's a once in a lifetime experience for most of us. And, you know, a few people lucky enough get to play two or three times, and so many people never. I want the Survivor community to be bigger. I want to meet more people that play the show. I hope the show goes on for years and years and years because it really is a special thing.
Yes, me too. Me too, Vetus. Let's go to a question from Ryan Anthony. Ryan wants to know, would Vetus have preferred the Exile Island twist over the Redemption Island format? Of course, the original Blood vs. Water had Redemption Island. This season has Exile Island. Any difference for you?
Yeah, no. Earlier when we were talking, I mistakenly said it was Exile Island. The Redemption Island twist was... Oh, man. I think it, as a fan, I think it was great in our season before the merge because... When you get to the merge and the other tribe doesn't know who's voted out and who's walking to that redemption arena, that was gold. It was to see everybody's emotion and the yelling and the, how could you do this? And F you, Brad Culpepper. All that stuff was amazing. I'd never seen that on Survivor. But I think that after the merge, Redemption Island it's kind of boring. It's, you know, once somebody gets voted out, they should get voted out. And I like Exile Island a little bit better in that sense, in that like your punishment is you have to be away from the tribe. You have to be away from the tribe and suffer without any sort of reward or anything that they get. You don't get to be a part of strategy. Apparently, Keith doesn't want to be a part of strategy anyways, and he just wants to nap all afternoon.
But, go fishing.
Okay. Yeah, it should be a punishment. Yeah, that should be a punishment to be away from the tribe.
Yeah. Boy, and I think you're absolutely right. The pre-merge part of the original Blood versus Water with the Redemption Island, that was really, really fun. Really, really, really great moment, right when Candace said, F you, Brad Culpepper.
Yeah, when Candace said F you and just flinging up the, you know, middle finger to everybody. And it was, people were yelling across the aisle at each other. And half the stuff that happened didn't even get shown. It was so good.
Yeah.
They just couldn't even put it all in. But it was, yeah, that was, I was, as a fan sitting there and watching it unfold, I remember thinking to myself, you know, I hate the idea of Redemption Island. When somebody's gone, they're gone. But this is amazing.
Yeah.
But then I was hoping that they would let it drop after the merge because everybody knows who voted out after the merge. You know, we're all together now.
Yeah. Lose it after the merge. You don't need that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so how about this idea of what they're doing? Of course, we saw the duels in the first couple of weeks. And now it's like, okay, now it's going to be sort of like a one-on-one reward challenge. Did you like that they did it that way?
I think it was contrived from the get-go. It really felt contrived to me to try to get emotion out of it from the beginning. Like, you're going to play against your loved one, one-on-one loved one. I think because of our season, when they saw loved ones go up against each other, like when Aris went in the sumo challenge.
Sumo at sea.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff, because there was such good emotion. I think now they're just trying to, like, they saw that in the show and production really wanted to, let's try to create as much of that family emotion as we can. So I don't know, but the one-on-one just does, it seems weird. Everybody should participate for a reward, don't you think?
I think so, because it's really all just a setup so that after the challenge is over, Jeff can like talk to the, he like does like a one-on-one with each of the people. And
yeah,
it's
how
like,
are you feeling about this? Yeah. No,
and it's always like, Baylor, boy, I bet you really feel like you let the tribe down, didn't you? It's like, don't put words in my mouth, Jeff. I didn't say that. Like, I bet everybody's thinking right now, you really blew it, right? Right? You must be very upset, right?
Why did they pick her for that challenge? I don't get it.
I don't know. We talked about it a little bit last night. I thought it was odd that, you know, it was like, okay, pick your champion. Who's going to be your best competitor? And it was like you had to sort of like go under things. And so, you know, being a smaller person probably was a benefit to her. I mean, who were you going to pick? Missy, Keith, Dale? You know, John, I guess you could pick Jacqueline, but I mean, I think she was the best of those six choices.
I would have picked Jacqueline. It seems like Jacqueline has a little bit of a better head on her shoulders. It's a puzzle.
But she's tall. Like
a blindfolded puzzle. Yeah, but you know, ultimately they got around there at the same, even though Baylor was a lot slower than Reed. Was that who was doing it? Reed. Yeah, Baylor's a lot slower, but they both had a chance to get the puzzle done. I think, you know, I don't see Baylor as a puzzle mastermind.
How dare you, Vetus?
I'm sorry, Baylor. Yeah.
Who would you rather see in concert? Your brother, Aris, or Baylor Wilson?
Oh, my brother, Aris. Have you not heard Odd Us? I mean, he's creating gems as we speak. Every day I go over there, and he's, you know, wailing away on that guitar, playing for his little son, and it's, you know, he's a magician.
I saw Aris on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine this week.
Yeah, if you look at his Instagram and his Facebook, you will see the Rolling Stone magazine. It's not out yet. It's not in stands.
Not out yet. Check out Aris on the cover of Rolling Stone on Aris's Instagram everywhere.
Yeah, you need, it's an important thing that everybody needs to see.
Okay. Joe Terso wants to say, which two brothers are basically badder asses? You and Aris, or Alec and Drew?
Oh man, you know, I wanted to pass the torch to Alec and Drew so bad. You know, having me and Aris really had the claim to fame that we were the only brothers that had ever played Survivor. And when I saw they had cast two new brothers, I was a little bit disappointed. But then it switched real quick to generosity. How can I pass the torch? How can I let these brothers, you know, fly high? I was really disappointed with how Drew played that, though. I wanted, if you had asked me before the show aired, I would have said Drew and Alec, but after seeing, you know, kind of their gameplay, I'm going to stick with Vetus and Aris.
But of the two brothers, you know, you have sort of like the dynamic where Alec is sort of like the, you know, he has the traditional like younger brother thing. But now you're the older brother, correct?
I am the eldest.
So by birth order, you would be the Drew. But I kind of feel like that from the storyline edit, you know, I feel like you're more of the Alec.
Yeah, I don't see it that clear with them either. I don't see it like it's really clear with Aris and I. Aris was the golden child. He won Survivor. He did great. I was sort of like the fuck up. And, you know, he didn't really do much and, you know, went to jail and kind of pulled his life together. Yeah, there's like an older, younger brother dynamic, but I don't know. Alec just, I don't want to say I'm Alec. He does want to redeem himself from living under his brother's, his womanizing brother's shadow for so long. You know, I guess if we're going to say in that sense, then yeah, Drew is Aris. Aris got all the girls growing up. I didn't really get a lot of women.
Women came up to him that he didn't even want, like Drew?
I don't know if you know this, but when Aris was in college, Aris got voted one of the top five most eligible bachelors in Newport Beach, where he went to college.
Was that on his Instagram?
I don't think he ever posted that on his Instagram, no, but this was back in the days. You never, this was before social media got big.
Okay, top five.
Aris was the man down in Orange County when he went to college.
Okay, so top five baby, most eligible bachelors in Orange County, that's what it was?
In Newport Beach.
In Newport Beach. And this was after Survivor or pre-Survivor?
No, this was pre-Survivor. This Aris was playing college basketball. So even before he won Survivor, Aris was, you know, taking him down left and right at the bars.
Slam dunks left and right.
So that's in that case, ours is like Drew. I mean, I don't know, but I would never wear a Rasta colored rosary. So.
Why not? You have its traditional colors?
I would go if that were my faith, I would go with the wood. I would go traditional wood. I have a certain aesthetic to uphold, and the bright neon white, yellow, green, and red just isn't really working for me. Al, sorry.
Let me ask you this question, and I'm going to add my commentary to the question. So Christopher Shelton says, Stephen and Rob always criticize your Monica vote over Tyson. This is me now. I don't even remember the last time we talked about that. But Christopher says, isn't it empowering to decide second and third place by your vote alone? I always thought someone who voted for Cochran's unanimous win wasted their vote and should have decided between Dawn and Sherry for second place. Was Greg from the first season wrong to F with the game with his vote? Isn't a vote your final play in the game and can do whatever you want because no one deserves to win?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, when I was at Final Tribal, I wanted to say, I'm voting for second place tonight because Tyson, you're going to win it. But you know, obviously, production wouldn't let me say that. You know, I went in and I said, I want to say this. Say, well, you have to give them a different reasoning. So what I said on the show was, you know, my vote's still up for grabs, whatever. But I knew Tyson was going to win. Tyson played the best game, and Tyson deserved to win. You know, walking around Ponderosa that day, kind of like getting a feel how everybody's going to vote, I could tell. And I wanted to make sure that the second place person got rewarded. Jervis didn't deserve second place our season. He really did not. Like, he followed Tyson, and there was a few moments in that game. Granted, not many. It was tough for him. I get Jervis's plight there. Like, there weren't really a lot of moments where he could have turned the game on its head and taken out Tyson, but he had to try. He knew he was going to get second. But Monica made some moves. And she won a ton of individual immunity. I think that Monica deserves second place. I don't think it takes away from a winner if you didn't win unanimously. If you did not win unanimously, it doesn't make you a lesser winner. You won.
Okay.
Do you really think that whether you get all votes or just some of the votes makes you less of a winner?
I think that is probably closer to a perfect game. I think that is a, you know, somebody winning, you know, 9-0 or 8-0 versus 8-1 or 7, you know, 7-1. I think there's more of an accomplishment there. I think it's like pitching, you know, a perfect game in baseball versus pitching a one hitter.
Yeah, but I think that's almost overrated because in baseball, yeah, you know you're facing the best of the other team. You know you're facing the top of the order. Casting's different every season. Look at Yul. Yul played a great game, but he had Ozzy on his season. There was no way he was going to win unanimously. The fact that he won against Ozzy, somebody who, you know, arguably should have won that season, it was 4-3. But Yul played it to beat Ozzy, period, was a great game. Then, you know, you had two people on that season that were both should have, you know, could have won.
All right, let's take another question from Jeremiah Yap. Says, Vetus, I would compare Dale's situation this past episode to yours in post-switch Galong on the original Blood versus Water, where it seemed like you were the obvious to be voted out next on the tribe full of women, having survived the next two tribal councils and then making the merge. Do you think there was anything more Dale could have done or could have done differently to survive that vote?
I think it had been real tough. I do think that the play of I'm going to give it to you was too strong of a play. I think that he did really well by giving something that was obviously not something he found out there. The fact that he took that off the well and made it into an idol was clearly it wasn't something he just found. So it didn't look like a fake idol. And that was really smart of him. But to tell John, I'm going to give this to you, that I think that must have raised flags for John. Like, why would he give me? Nobody gives anybody an idol. On all the years I've seen the show, who really gives somebody an idol? It's happened, what, less than a handful of times?
Yeah.
So I think that was too strong of a play. You know, I think that Dale screwed himself by making an enemy of Missy early on. And I, you know, like making a fight about the rice was an awful choice on Dale. And Kelly said when she got voted out, she's like, I think one of my downfalls was playing with my dad because my dad's a little bit hot-headed when it came to certain things. And yeah, Dale was just kind of paying for past stuff. You know, he didn't play a good enough game to survive that.
Now, Vetus, we have always tracked your social media during these seasons. I feel like you haven't been tweeting a lot about this season.
You know what? Just with my kid, I've been missing tweeting. I really want to try to get back to it. To be honest, there's also a little part of it I haven't been that inspired to be tweeting this season. I hope the season gets better. I think it's a pretty average season so far. It's nothing against the players, that everybody's playing their heart out and it's great, but I'm not looking forward to Wednesday nights as much as I usually am these days. I got to be honest. I watch it usually later that evening or next thing in the morning, but I'm not watching it live, and I feel weird tweeting about it if I'm not watching it live, you know?
But what about the move that you do where you tweet to the women of the season? I miss that.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, who's the woman of the season I should be tweeting?
Who's tweet-worthy?
Okay, well, no, to be honest, there's nobody's got the apple of my eye.
Nobody?
No.
Vetus, come on.
I mean, there's some beautiful women on this season, but some of them are taken. Yes. Some of them just aren't my type, you know? That's just, maybe we have to wait for season 30.
Okay. A couple more questions.
I would like you to know, though, I have been keeping in touch with Morgan from last season.
Oh, how much have you been keeping in touch with Morgan?
We just sent a message or two on social media recently, but it was good to talk to her. I'm glad she's doing well.
Snapchat?
I will not divulge anything further as far as our conversation.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. How about a question from Mark Solera, who says, how does it feel to be Stephen Fishback's favorite Bushkauskas?
It is an honor. Like you, Rob, you know, Stephen Fishback and a few other people that write about Survivor are really the tastemakers in the reality community. You guys set the bar pretty high, and to be one of your chosen few is an honor.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
It's such an honor.
Ron Bauman wants to say, can a pair really make it to the end of this game together? Will we ever see a pair make it to the end in a blood versus water season?
Yes, if a pair plays it right. I mean, like I said, you got to get another pair to stay with. If you're one pair toward the end, it's not going to happen. But if you get another pair to stick with and you can make it to the final seven with two pairs, then you're set, because then it's going to be the final five with two pairs. And then it's going to be the final three with one pair. So a pair can, there's a path to make it to the end. Me and Aris, we had the path all set out to make it to the end. We just, you know, we didn't play it perfectly. But there is definitely a clear-cut path for a pair to make it far. You have to get a single that is on board with it. You have to get a single and convince them individually, each one saying like, hey, if it was me with me and Aris, I need to get a pair that says, hey, guess what? Final three. I think people might split it between me and Aris. I'm going to go against Aris, whatever. Like, maybe let's get Aris out or something. Like, convince the third party that you're really that third member of your group and that they're really tight in with you.
Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, who in this cast is most in need of one of Vetus's yoga classes?
Ooh, that's tough. Who in this cast is most in need? I would say John. I mean, even though he's not even around anymore, John seems like a pretty wound up, tight dude. And even though his bicep is bigger than my head, I think that his range of motion probably suffers. He needs to stretch a little bit. He needs to relax, you know, he needs to let go and stop being such a hothead. I would love to give a private to John. Hit me up. Holler me whenever. Let's do some yoga, bro.
Give a private to. That's yoga talk.
That's yoga talk. Private yoga lesson. Just okay. One-on-one bro time.
I'm going to integrate that into my podcasting talk. I'll give you a private. Okay. How about Thomas Forsey wants to know, who's the bigger John? John Mish or John Cody? Who's the big John now?
Oh, wow. I love John Cody, and I got to stick with my original alliance. Five guys, John Cody. I do like current John. John Mish is the last name?
John Mish.
Yeah, John Mish is solid. He's a solid player. He's a super solid player. I think I don't know if he's as big of a fan as John Cody is. I don't think he knows the game quite as well. But he's a solid player. I wouldn't mind playing with him.
Okay. William Conyers wants to know, chicken kebab or beef kebab?
Beef kebab. 100% beef kebab.
Hundo?
What did they give him on the show?
They had a choice. They had to eat either chicken kebab or beef kebab.
Oh, they had to choose?
Well, they had like four of each. So
four of each.
Or what's the move? Or do you put everything together and you get to have like half and half? Or does everybody get their own?
What about the tofu kebabs for the vegans?
No, they don't get that.
Yeah, no, I got, you know, this was not as good as our steak reward that we got on the original Blood versus Water. I feel like this isn't as good of a season.
Cheap imitation.
Even in the rewards, they're not getting the goods as much as we got them. You know, they're trying to do it a second time, watering it down, and I can see it. CBS, I can see it. Come on, give these people some rewards, not kebabs.
Blood versus watering it down. Okay, and last question. Amy Lynn Shapiro wants to know, we both know that both Vetus and Aris and Kelly and Dale had a contentious relationship prior to Survivor. How has his relationship with Aris changed as a result of the show, and what should Kelly and Dale expect?
God, you know, Aris and I went through one of the most magical experiences together.
Whoa.
Playing Survivor with my brother was amazing. It was bar none the coolest thing that I've ever gotten to do with Aris. How is our relationship different now? I think we're a little bit closer. I mean, we've been together for 32 years, and Aris has been around. So I would like to say that, you know, everything's roses ever since Survivor, but everything, you know, it's, we're brothers, man. It's, we go through the same, our stuff is our stuff, and we still are super competitive, and I still want to beat him at things, and we still get in fights all the time. But I think there's just like a little bit of, more of an intimacy on our relationship as far as, you know, knowing each other better. John and Kelly, that's such a different relationship. Dale and Kelly, that's father daughter. I don't have a daughter. I don't even have any sisters. I have no idea what that relationship's like. It's cool they got to play together. I will say that. I will say to Kelly, in a sense, because it, and I don't want to throw Aris under the bus again, but you know, it was the decision, people that screwed us over. You know, don't blame your dad. Give your dad a break. Your dad's your dad. Your dad loves you. You know, it sucks that, you know, it was, you know, he was part of your outdoing, but you know, you went into the game knowing that you were going to be a pair with him, and that if you're going to succeed, you're probably going to succeed together. If you're going to fail, you're probably going to fail together. You know, that's a lot of what blood versus water is. And you take it or leave it, but that's the game.
Vetus, thank you so much for coming on. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I appreciate you spending some time with me. Hope you can treat yourself to a tofu kebab after this.
For sure. Tofu kebab with some kale on the side. You know it, bro.
No, man. That's the price you got to pay. Take all those nice black and white photos.
Yeah. You know what? If you want to feel healthy, you got to eat right. It's really true. It sucks. I mean, I just want to eat French fries and milkshakes all day long, but I do want to live a long and a healthy life. Hopefully, maybe I'll get back on Survivor before season 40, and I can, you know, show off my svelte figure once again.
Yes, and be Snapchatting all of the Survivor ladies once again.
Yeah, you know what? What was it the last time I did your show? I met Andrea. Oh, yeah, me and Andrea. Yeah, that was, we're not even going to go into that whole situation, but, you know, she is an amazing girl.
Speaking of throwing people under the bus that day that we went to go record that podcast in the studio, then Andrea was like staying in Hollywood, and Vetus was like, oh, Andrea, you need a ride back to Hollywood? Rob lives in the Valley. He's going that way. I had to cross the 405 at rush hour, Vetus.
Yeah, you know what?
Threw me under the bus.
You know, it's funny. After that, I was in New York and I met up with Andrea. We hung out in New York a little bit. We went to, did some yoga, some soul cycle stuff. It was, you know, she's a cool girl. Thanks for introducing me to her. Appreciate that, Rob.
Yes.
Why don't you set me up again? Let's do some other guest talks.
All right. Well, you tell me who you want to have a guest talk with, and we'll set up a personal. Did I get that right?
Yeah, well, let's set up a three-way talk. You know, I'll give you a list of some people that I want to meet, and we can do our next time simulcast with them.
Sounds good. Follow Vetus on Twitter at Vetus Yoga. Vetus, thank you so much, and enjoy Halloween with the baby, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, be sure to check my Twitter. I'll post a picture of my kid dressed up as me and Aris for Survivor tomorrow. And I'll try to tweet more. You know, I'm sorry I haven't been tweeting a lot, but I do have things to say about Survivor. I love Survivor. Thank you, everybody who follows me and, you know, supports me. And, you know, I'm happy that we're all part of the community because it's such a cool game. It's cool to talk about.
All right. Take care, Vetus.
All right, bud. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Vetus Bushkauskas back here on Rob Has a Podcast. Always good to hear what he has to say about Survivor, especially on a blood versus water season. And of course, who he's talking to on social media. Very, very interesting to see always. Okay, let's go ahead and start to segue into our voicemail segment. This person is returning to the show for the first time since their exit interview. I've always wanted to have them back on. Here he is, the snowman. Here he is. It's Mr. Michael Snow. Hey, Snowy.
Hey, ding. Thank you. What's up, Rob?
Very excited to talk to you, Michael. And I feel like this is going to be a lot of fun to go through all of this stuff of the voicemails and all of this stuff from social media and things that we want to talk about from this week's episode of Survivor.
I'm definitely up for some fun. That sounds good. Well, and thank you for having me, Rob. I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Michael, I know that you have been a longtime listener to Rob Has a Podcast. Is this factually correct?
This is factually correct. I don't know what I listened to the podcast before I went on and played Survivor. And, you know, that's what I would listen to and start, you know, cranking through my brain what the hell I was going to do if I ever got the chance. And listen to you rap about it. It was really helpful.
Yes, I was rapping all the time. And here's what I discovered.
Rapping. Yes. Ah, very clever, aren't you?
I try. And Michael, here's what I discovered as we got this podcast set up. I went to message you on Facebook. And when you message somebody on Facebook, you see like your previous messages. And what I found was that I guess I had never sent you a Facebook message before, but that you can't say the same about me because you had sent me a Facebook message in May of 2010.
And did you, I really? 4 years ago?
Yes,
what did I say?
Yes. You said, hey, Rob, love your podcast with Nicole. You two are hilarious. I live in Brooklyn. Did I hear you say the finale's NYC and you won't be there? How, where the hell can I get tickets?
Hey, looking for a handout. That's me.
You said, I've been Googling like a mofo and can't find any info. Can you help a fan?
And, oh, my God.
And I felt bad, like a real jerk. I didn't even write back. Oh, no.
Hey, you know, no love lost, man. No love lost.
No, but you know what? That usually the answer is if I don't get back to people, it's like I don't know the answer. Like I don't know how to get tickets for the finale, especially like in New York. Like I feel like even if somebody asks for tickets for finale now, like I don't know how to get more tickets other than just to like ask, you know, somebody at CBS, like, hey, can we get more tickets?
Well, I know why you didn't answer me because people ask me now and I'm like, I don't know, asshole.
I don't know. Like, if I had a good
You're
answer.
Like, who's this snowman asshole bothering?
Yeah, if I knew how to do it, I would get back to you and give the answer. But like, I feel stupid to say, like, I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Rob. I didn't get to go to the finale in 2010, whatever the hell that was.
You're lucky they let you sit on the stage in the finale that you got to go to.
Oh, aren't they sweet?
Yeah. And also, to close it out, you said, yeah, by the way, you should have been on the Heroes Tribe this season. Might have helped those nerds out a bit. So good sucking kneecaps. And you said, Sandra for the win.
All right. Hey, I called it. Sandra's my fave. Like, what was I thinking putting you on the Heroes? I must have been enamored with you for some reason.
You probably that. Maybe you thought I was Skater Rob.
Skater Rob. Oh, that big, tall, goofy guy.
Maybe he thought I was the general or we know Boston Rob was on the Villains Tribe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they needed somebody funny on the Heroes Tribe, didn't they?
Yeah, they could have used some help. Now, one of the things we always talk about on the show is the idea of the upcoming rumored season of Survivor Robs versus Johns. But is it true that you have been pushing for them to go with a three tribe format and have it be Survivor Robs versus Johns versus Mikes?
Yeah, I've been bugging them every day. I've been calling CBS and saying, when are we going out there? That sounds like a great idea. So who would the Robs and the Johns and the Michaels be?
Well, we haven't really, we've talked a lot about all the different Robs and all the different Johns and how John Robert and Bobby John are going to start the game on Exile, on Exile Island. But do you have any pregame alliances with any of the other Michaels?
Oh shit. Who are some Michaels? There was a Michael. Oh, yeah.
Mike Scoopin.
Scoopin. I don't know Scoopin. So no alliance.
But you have Mikey.
Something up. Mikey B. Mikey who?
Mikey B. Well.
Wait, who's Mikey B? Who's Mikey B?
You have Mike Barassi.
No, I don't want him on my tribe. Didn't he die almost?
Michael Jefferson?
No alliance there. He's like, we're voting him out. No offense, Barassi.
Yeah.
So wait, Mike Scoopin, I'll take him. I can beat him.
Yeah. So you have definitely. I think we have enough Michaels for us if it's going to be Survivor Mikes versus Johns versus Frops.
Wait, so who's in your tribe? That big, tall skater guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's
Skater Rob? Rob?
Yeah. Boston Rob.
Boston Rob. Yeah. All sorts
Bob, of Bob, as Sandra likes to call him.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Dog, Bob Crowley. We're going to add some Bobs in there. And
You got to put Bob Crowley on there. He's fun.
Maybe
he's
RC. So, yeah.
Have you met Bob Crowley?
Yes.
He's so funny. He's such a goofball. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, he's another guy that had a fake idol, much like Dale this week.
Ah, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So how have
you, nice segue.
Well, I want to know, for your take on this season. And what I want to know about is, you know, you were on a tribe that got off to a rough start in the game when you were on the tribe of fans.
Yeah, we had a rough time the whole time.
Yeah. And we have this tribe, the Coyopa tribe this season, which has also been a tribe that has gotten off to a rough start. Does your heart go out to these guys at all?
Oh, my God, Rob. It really actually does. I feel really, really bad for them because there's, you know, the rain is horrible, the starving, the morons, they're all horrible. But, you know, I'm telling you, there is nothing worse than losing out there. I don't know. Did you lose a lot? I mean, do you know what I mean? It was terrible. It was because you knew you were going to go down. Your tribe was going to go down, and you were losing more and more power the whole time. And mm-hmm. it's completely depressing, and you feel like you have no control. If you were the only one in the challenge, it might not be so depressing because you're the one who you're at fault. But when you're sharing it with like 8, 7, 9 other people, you're just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's really horrible. And I feel really bad for them. And they haven't won anything legitimately, I don't think. Yeah, that's worse than us. We won the first thing.
Yeah, that they had the one that drew Christie through the challenge. And that was the one that they won.
I wonder if they figured it out.
No.
I mean, that's what I always wonder, if those tribes that lose because or win because somebody threw the challenge, if they ever find out before the show airs.
Yeah. Maybe somebody tells somebody and they're like, no, that's you. No way you did. But then they see the episode, they probably feel stupid.
Well, Philip said he threw the challenge.
Yes.
Time, and I was just like, what are you talking about? And he said, Rob, he goes to me, he goes, if you tell anybody that I told you this, I'll know and you're out of here. And I was like, oh, good God. It was so bizarre. And so it was really depressing when he told me that he threw the challenge as well.
Well, you know, you kind of were in a situation kind of like how Dale and Kelly were into, where you got swapped into not such a great situation, right?
Yeah, those two, Dale and Kelly, they, you know, once it was determined that they were going home, they really had no chance at all, did they?
No, not really.
I mean, what were they going to do? I mean, he tried, you know, you got to give it to him. Last night, at least it seemed like he was trying to do something to mix it up. You know, but I don't understand, why didn't he vote for Keith? He should have voted for Keith.
Interesting.
Wouldn't that have saved him? Or at least given him a shot somehow.
See, I don't think he knew that they were going to split the votes between him and Keith. Like, had he known that, that would have been a good idea, because that would have at least pushed it to a tie. And then they would have had a revote, right? It was 3-2-1. And so then it would have been 3-3. And then those guys would have voted and they would have voted Dale out. So I don't think it would have saved him, but it would have been a better play than to try to get Missy out. You know, he just had Missy in the crosshairs the whole time.
So he couldn't think
of anything else.
So he was thinking that maybe he had convinced John that they were going to, he was, you know,
John and Jacqueline. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to put your money where your mouth is and go where you put your efforts. That's, you know, you got to put your trust in the people that you're trying to tell you to put your trust in, that, you know, for them to put their trust in you. So.
Sure, sure. It's tricky, but we're going to get into all of the voicemails here from you guys in just a moment. But I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. And those are our friends over at Hulu Plus, Snowy. Now, I know you must watch a lot of TV, right?
That's all I do.
Good, good. Well, it's the fall. You know that all the shows are back in the fall with new episodes. And Hulu Plus is making this the best fall TV season ever. Because right now...
Great.
Right. Yes, it's true. Right now, Hulu Plus has the current season episodes of your favorite shows like Sleepy Hollow. That's good for Halloween week, right?
I love that show.
Do you do?
Whatever. Yes.
Wow.
I thought it was a book, but now that I know that it's a show, I love that show.
Yes. Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, and even the home of Michael Snow, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes. And if you're not caught up on those shows, you can catch up now on Hulu Plus. Now, Snowy, you've probably watched Hulu on your computer, right? Just plain old regular Hulu, right?
All the time.
Yes. But Hulu Plus is much more because Hulu Plus lets you watch every episode of shows like South Park, Family Guy, America's Next Top Model, and all of the Real Housewives shows. And even you could watch shows like Survivor Karamoan.
For real, you can watch that on your computer. I didn't know that. That's terrific.
Yeah, and Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device that you already own. Because Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream as much as you want, whenever you want, much like Philip was in Survivor Karamoan, right?
He was streaming all the time.
And in total control. You can binge watch all of the shows that you're behind on. So for just $7.99 a month, watch your fall shows anytime, anywhere. But for the subscribers, they're getting a better deal than the Hunapu tribe got from Jeff Probst when they traded all of their stupid stuff for rice.
Get out of here. Don't even get me started on that. Is that on Hulu Plus?
No. You don't even have to trade all your stuff, and you'll get a free 2-week trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob, because 2 weeks is better than one. Make sure you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob, get the extra free week, and then they know that we sent you there. It helps support the podcast, and you get a great deal. HuluPlus.com/Rob for the extended free trial. That's HuluPlus.com/Rob for your free 2-week trial. Okay, let's get into the voicemails. Of course, these come to us every week. RobIsAWebsite.com/voicemail and 323-282 RHAP. Let's get it kicked off with one of a very interesting question that goes back into Survivor history from our good friend Megan Z. Let's get the voicemails kicked off with a question from Megan.
Hi guys, this is Megan Z. Jeff mentioned tonight that the last rice trade they did was back in Australia, and that was due to a lot of other hardships. But if you go back and watch the Australia clip, Jeff asks the cast the same questions about why they didn't ration the rice properly. Is Jeff having revisionist history about his Golden Australia cast, or do they really deserve rice more than the current Blood versus Water cast? Thanks again, guys.
Okay, Snowy, we're going to talk about the rice now. Are you ready?
I'm ready to talk about the rice.
Now, what did you guys have in Survivor Karamoan?
Listen, let me tell you something. That when Jeff said at the end, after he took all their crap, he's like, I'm going to take the hammock. I'm going to take the pillows. I'm going to take your pot, your extra flint, your hammer, your axe. And he goes, you're left with a pot, a machete, and that was it, right? And a flint. That's all we had. That's all we had the whole time.
Hold
we
on a second. Hold on a second, Snowy. If you didn't have any of that crap, then how did Brandon Hance want to pee in the rice and pee in the beans?
Those other jerks had that stuff. We didn't have
did
that.
They win it?
Yeah, they won everything.
Well, that was a reward, rice and beans?
Yeah, I think they won the beans when we landed on the beach and we wrestled in the water for a reward. And I think that was the beans. I don't know how
because
I remember.
Because after
that.
Brandon dumped everything out, wasn't there like, but Jeff, we don't have anything because Brandon dumped it out. And then didn't he give them more stuff?
Oh, he did. We did get more rice when we did the tribe swap.
Okay.
We didn't get as much as they did. We got like, you know, maybe like half a gallon or something like that. It was a little like welcoming party for, you know, a tribe swap.
So don't do revisionist history on us. Don't be one of these survivors that was like, in my day, we had to walk to tribal council uphill both ways.
Rob, nobody had rice. Ever called me a revisionist. Seriously.
Now, do you remember back to Survivor Australia when Jeff Probst had to give them rice?
Okay, so this is hard for me because I didn't watch Survivor back then. I think I've seen it though. He did. Didn't they get? That's the season where the river came in and washed them all away, right?
Alex is, yeah. Okay, so you do remember. So let me play the clip of this is what Jeff said during the episode last night.
Where did you get this? Hulu Plus, I imagine.
How many times we've done this adventure? I can only think of one other time that somebody's needed their rice replenished. That was back in Australia. And that was due to a lot of other hardships.
Okay, a lot of other hardships. And then Jeff also talked to Reed about this. And Reed said that there was a reason why they ended up going through all of the rice, which was this.
Reed, what does that say about this tribe?
There were too many cooks in the kitchen and they all wanted to use too much rice.
Sounds like there were too many patrons in the kitchen.
That's true.
Too many patrons in the kitchen. Which is never the case for Rob as a podcast. There are never enough patrons in our kitchen, unlike the Hunapu tribe. But all right, but going back to Survivor Australia, was this revisionist history? I would say that there were extenuating circumstances in Survivor Australia because I actually recently rewatched some of this season. And what had happened was that there started to be flooding. You're right. And the water started to get too muddy. And while they were catching fish when they first merged at the Barramundi camp, what ended up happening was that the water ended up getting too muddy and there weren't any fish anymore. So then they started leaning into the rice. But at the beginning of the merge, they were catching fish. Then the waters got too muddy. They couldn't fish anymore. And that's why they had to start eating the rice. You know, Jeff wasn't even on these guys, but how come you're not fishing?
Right. So you think that they deserved the rice, or that it wasn't such a big deal that they got the rice in Australia is what you're saying.
Well, I think it was a big deal then, but it wasn't like that they weren't trying. I feel like these people just like they got there. They just ate and ate and ate. Like they gave them rice in Australia on like day 30 or something like that. Like this is like day 13.
It's like it is really bad. I mean, they ate a stunning amount of rice there in Nicaragua this season, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did.
I think I can't believe that they're, you know, how many times they've been asking for stuff. You know what? I was like, why did they stop at rice? They should have asked for steaks and lobsters, man. He gave them he gave them the rice for nothing practically.
Yeah, they got off easy, right?
Yeah, totally. So easy. I thought somebody was going to have to go home. I thought they were going to have to go to tribal or something.
Yeah.
And at least be given that option. So you either take the rice or you go to tribal. And he took their hammock, for God's sake. I mean, if you're sitting there on the beach, what are you going to do? You're going to sit in the hammock or the beach? I'm going to be down on the beach anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you brought up the hammock because I have a question about Jeff Probst taking their hammock away. This is from Mikey the Chimp.
How far did Probst really carry that gear down the beach before he got to just drop it and have some dream teamer come and pick it up for him? Also, imagine a world where there is no hammock on that beach. Probst would have had no way to graciously carry all that stuff off, right? Finally, tell Vetus that I work out at Equinox West Hollywood, and a couple weeks ago, I was listening to Rob Has a Podcast at the gym and saw Vetus running by me on the way to the yoga studio.
How about that?
Vetus runs and does yoga.
A Vetus sighting at outside of Equinox Gym. Yeah, so Jeff Probst.
Probst,
I mean,
didn't carry that shit to the boat.
He got a workout in because, one, he carried in that big bag of rice.
Oh.
And then,
he is so strong.
And then he had to carry all their stuff away. What do you think he did with it? Like, once he got off of camera,
he was like, "Cut! Somebody get this shit onto the boat."
Yeah,
he didn't carry that off. No, he didn't.
What do you think they do with all that stuff after? Do you think they just throw it out, or they save it for Survivor 30?
It's at Ponderosa, and they're all sitting at Ponderosa now, probably. John Rocker's swinging in the hammock. You know, and Natalie's sister, what's her name, is sitting
Nadia.
There.
Nadia.
You know, Nadia's, you know, she's playing with the flint.
Yeah, I'm taking away your flint. Yeah. Jeff said that, you know, there's never been a tribe that's needed as much help as they have. But I feel like that can't be right, right?
Here's the thing. I think there's been a lot of tribes that have needed a lot of help. But it's just amazing. They just keep asking for help. And he, instead of him being like, shut up, this is Survivor, he's like, well, what do you want to do about it? What, how do you want to trade? That's why I think he's really set himself up for getting that question, you know, in the future.
Well, I think it does speak to, like, just like from a sociological perspective of the idea of, I think that if it, it kind of goes to show you, like, okay, so when you like have like a handout and then you give it to people, like, you know, then they're like, okay, well, where's my next, like, I need more stuff. So I'm out of the stuff you gave me. So can I please have some more, as
ask
opposed
what
to
you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, ask for, you know, ask for, that's why I said they should ask for steaks. I saw a read last night, actually, and I was like, look, man, why did you only ask for rice? You should have been asking for steaks.
So you got to see some of these guys at the, you know, you're in the Wine and Cheese Alliance now, Survivor Viewing Party, right?
I don't know if I'm in the Wine and Cheese Alliance. Like, maybe I'm, you know, a freshman member or something like that. I go, I've seen these guys, you know, from time to time. They're all really nice, so I like to go say hi and watch Survivor and stuff like that. So I saw him last night and he was beaming, you know, and having a really good time.
Yeah. I'm sure he must've been pumped up to, get to win that challenge too.
Shit. He won two challenges last night. He was amazing. Don't you think?
Hey, those guys had a good night.
Oh, they were so sweet. They were so cute. I really, really like watching them. I think they're really fun to watch on the show.
Yeah. Let me set up this next question here. And I want to here, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Let's take this question here from Megan Yost.
Hey, Rob, and hey, Snowy. This is Megan from Ohio. I was just wondering, is it too soon to tell which players you think will be returning players? Also, Snowy, would you ever play again? Love the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Two questions here from Megan. Number one, who from this season will be a returning player?
Well, I think there's only a couple at this point. I think things could, you know, things could shake up a little bit, and I'm hoping they do. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm there's nobody that I dislike, you know, but this isn't really like a really exciting season at this point. There hasn't, you know, the most exciting thing has been the rice drink. You know, that's what everyone's talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So nobody's talking about this blind side or this crazy move, especially compared to like last season where, you know, Tony was bonkers the whole time and it was really fun to watch. It doesn't mean I don't like everybody and I'm not watching them. So I'm trying to think of who the big characters would be. Well, definitely Josh and Jeremy, maybe Natalie, you know, somebody like Keith could, he's such a character. If he kind of comes on strong somehow in the game, maybe somebody like him. So I could see those guys coming back, but definitely Josh and Jeremy.
I feel like it would be so weird to see Natalie come back and not Nadia, like as a solo person, right? It would be sort of like a big deal. I feel like with the Twinnies that they were sort of like, you know, I'm trying to think of the duo, and maybe you could think of somebody like in music where it was then one of them like went solo on the other one and sort of like left the other
Simon
one.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel, right? That is Nadia. Listen, the Art Garfunkel of Survivor.
Would you really know who you had? They could send whoever they wanted. You wouldn't know if you had Nadia or Natalie.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Who is actually out there?
It could be like a Project DNA twist. Right. Yes. Oh my goodness.
And just like send out Natalie and surprise everybody, it's Nadia. She's in the final three.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Let's take a question talking about, let's get into talking about some of the alliances. Here's a question from Eddie.
Hey, Rob, it's Eddie. After the votes against Keith last night, does Wes pull Keith over to the side with Josh and Reed with Alec as the fifth, all against Muffin and Cupcake, John and Jacqueline, and improvised loved ones, Jeremy and Natalie? Oh, and Julia until she quits. Doesn't sound good for that group of five. Kelly from Miss Survivor. I'm out.
Kelly from Miss Survivor. I'm out. Okay.
Rob, you have to play that one again. I was laughing and I didn't hear the question. And also, I don't know who half of who's Cupcake? And I think I know who Muffin is.
Oh, well, all.
Oh, Cupcake must be Muffin's daughter. Is that correct?
Yes. All good questions. All right. First off, as far as Muffin goes,
what does Muffin think though? Like, we don't see Muffin at all. Like, sorry, Missy. What is Missy?
I was like, who's Muffin?
Yeah. it's
he's
really
calling him Muffin. He's like, he's got some sexual fantasy.
Whoa.
He's like, he's got this little idea, he's my Muffin, and you're like, who's Muffin?
Who's Muffin? Anyway, so going back to the question, we're talking about the different people in the alliances. Now, I'd really be interested to know your take on this going into the merge. You know, we've been talking about this a lot in the last couple days over what's going to happen when we get to this merge. How do you see it? Do you see the couples staying together? Do you see the original Hunap tribe getting back together? How do you think this shakes out?
I think the couples are going to stay together, but if I was out there playing, I would want to be a single. Don't you? Wouldn't you? Like, so I feel like the singles are in the best position, but I feel like that at this point, I feel like the couples have the power. Like, I feel like the couples are, like, I'm trying to think back to the other Blood versus Water. Did they, the couples never really got together until the merge, did they?
Well, the couples didn't get together at the merge. And that's one of the things that we talked about with Vetus, was that there were three couples when they merged at 12 in Blood versus Water. And Otis and Vetus were targeting Laura and Sierra. And the couples were turning on each other. And then the singles took advantage of that. And now this season, we're going to merge where we have 8 of the 12 people who are still in couples. Will the couples target each other? Will 3 of the 4 couples join together? And ultimately, will Wes and Keith, where do those two guys go? Are they loyal to the Muffin Baylor alliance? Are they loyal to Reed and Josh? Because we saw that Reed and Josh had a good relationship with Wes, and will they pull Keith over? So where do you think this specifically Wes and Keith will land after the merge?
Well, Wes and Keith, I think Keith is trying to be solid with Muffin, as you call her, and I still want to know why you call her Muffin.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin?
So, but the thing is, with this season, though, I feel like the couples have more time pre-merge together. Like, John and Jacqueline are together and Missy and Baylor are together. So we didn't have like couples coupling up pre-merge so much last time. This time the couples are going to go in strong into the merge. So I think Keith and Wes, if they're smart, they're going to go with John and Jacqueline and Missy and Baylor. I feel like there's the strongest alliance in the entire, of anybody right now, because the other tribe, the blue tribe, you know, they haven't even had a chance to like feel each other out and see where the alliances are. They've only been to the blue tribe has only been to tribal once. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, so like Jeremy, Natalie, who else is over there? Reed. And yeah, there's somebody else. I can't remember who it is.
Well, there's Julie. There's Julie. Josh. Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys have only been to tribal once, and they're going to go into the merge only having been to tribal once. Remember that tribe in Philippines, the yellow tribe?
Candang.
Scoopin' and RC's tribe. They never went to tribal, so they didn't get to like feel each other out and really see where the alliances are. And that's, you know, that's probably why RC was in trouble, is because she didn't know that. You know, maybe she didn't know that everyone had it out for her. I'm going off on a tangent here, but
no, it's good stuff. And I think you touched on something interesting, where in the original Survivor Blood versus Water, the couples weren't, none of them were together pre-merge with the exception of Tina and Katie. Whereas this season, 4 of the couples have gotten together before the merge. Whereas, you know, you had, you know, where even Laura and Sierra were a couple after the merge. Laura was voted out of the game. Laura was on Redemption Island. So she came back into the game at the merge and made a third couple. At the merge in that game, there were only 2 couples in the game, and Aris and Vetus were on separate tribes. So the couples weren't really getting to play together. Yeah.
Yeah. So this time they're really starting to build some time and some history together, like especially Missy, Baylor, John, and Jacqueline. They've gone through 2 votes together and they've established trust. And they brought Keith along. So there's, you know, a fivesome, and they're going into the merge with that. And they're like, hey, we're strong. And who can they pull in? Wes immediately, right? And also Natalie. So, you know, there's, and why don't they take Jeremy as well? You know, so I think those other, oh God, that doesn't, that kind of speaks doom for Josh and Reed. It
doesn't, it? I don't think it looks good for those guys.
Oh no. Oh, my boys, I don't want my boys to go home.
I think, well, I think a lot of people are rooting for them, but I think that they could be in trouble here unless they figure something out. Let's take another question from Matt wants to talk about the power couples.
Hey, don't skirt the subject here, Rob. Don't avoid the subject. I have to know why you guys call her Muffin. Why is she called Muffin? Is it, does she have a muffin top?
I possibly.
That's what I was, that's the only reason I
that's you'd have to ask Steven why is she Muffin.
Oh, and you have never asked him why. You know why.
I don't know. You'd have to talk to Steven. Next time you see him at one of these wine and cheese parties, you gotta ask him why is she Muffin.
He doesn't go to these wine and cheese parties.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We'll never know.
He doesn't go because he's always booked with you.
Yeah, I'm monopolizing the Steven. Okay,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm babbling.
Let's take this question from Matt.
Hello, Rob. This is Matt from Chicago. We're happy Halloween. Hope that Dominic's costume is cute as all get out. Anyway, just a question about last night's show. Now that we're merging at 12 people and 8 of them are part of a pair, do they all band together for dominance? Or do they look around, say there's too many of us, we should eat ourselves so we can become the power couple? Just curious for your opinion. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay. Do you think that the couples have a chance to work together, or will they eat themselves?
I think they should eat themselves. That would liven it up a bit, don't you think?
And based on how we see how Missy is doing with the rice, I would think that it's entirely possible that some of the tribes
might have to go cannibal.
Eat, you guys. Come on.
They have to go terminus on each other because they because they eat all the rice.
No, hopefully those, there's no tainted meat. Yeah.
Tainted meat!
Okay.
That was awesome, wasn't it? That was great.
Good, well, let's keep it on. We don't want to spoil, taint anything for anybody. Okay, so as far as the couples turning.
I don't think the 8 people that are in the couples are going to band together. I don't think they'll all get to the merge and go, hey, we're in couples, let's get together. I think it's going to be like, what have they been doing pre-merge? So everything that they've been... when you're out there, and you know this, you spend a lot of time trying to work on something, trying to work on your strategy and your alliance. And then, you know, you don't just, you know, bail on that. You put a lot of time and work into it. So you kind of bank on that. So all this work that these guys have been doing on the orange and yellow tribe, they're going to go in there and they're going to try and use that. They're not going to just be like, hey, couples, let's all hang out and screw all the singles.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, exactly.
That sounds like a plan. Okay. All right.
What do you think?
I just feel like that even if the couples work together, I feel like it's going to be 3 of the couples that work together. I just can't see Josh and Reed getting back together with all of those other couples on the other tribe, just because they don't seem to have a connection. Even when they were all together in Jeremy's alliance, that Reed wasn't a part of that. So I feel like those guys, they don't have a connection to Josh. The only connective tissue is sort of Baylor and Wes, who were in an alliance with Josh at one point. But I feel like those two guys are strong guys, and I feel like they're going to be a target.
But she doesn't exactly, especially after winning like 2 challenges last night, you know, but the, Baylor doesn't trust Joss as so much as, that much either, does she?
Yeah. That whole thing from the first vote where Josh did the thing where I still don't understand what he was doing, where he ended up switching his vote. And he said, he told Baylor that he was going to vote with her. And then he voted for her because he didn't want people to know he was with her. And then he told her about it. Like, that's one thing. Josh has played a really good game, but that one move is still,
it's going to haunt him. Oh no, I'm so worried. Look what you're making me sad.
Sorry. I don't mean to make you worried. I don't mean to make you worried. Okay.
I was worried last night. I thought one of them was in trouble last night.
Yeah. No, they're okay. They were on the tribe that won immunity, but and they won. They were the team that put the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did it. Okay, let's take a question here from Matthew Forsyth. He has a question about where are we going to put these tribes in history?
Hey, Snowy and Rob. So my question is, Where does Hoyopa land on the worst tribe ever ranking? I mean, they've lost every single immunity challenge except for the one that was thrown to them, so I feel like they're going to be pretty far up on the list, or pretty far down on the list, of the worst tribe ever ranking. What do you all think? Thanks, bye.
Okay. Worst tribe ever. You know, it's funny that this is a season where we're talking about both tribes potentially as the worst tribe ever. I mean, how did that happen? How could you? There's only two tribes and they're both the worst.
Shit. You know,
they're not the worst, though. They're not the worst tribe ever.
Well, we'll be down. Our tribe will be down there battling it out with them. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You guys might be might be in the mix.
Like, and you know, ironically, we're the same. We had the same buffs and everything.
Yeah. But it was close, if I remember right. Like, you guys weren't getting blown out, right? And you guys did win the first challenge.
We thought we had a chance every single time. We had really good, you know, good people, but we could just never, we could never close a deal. So, I think this is I can't remember the name, what tribe is called what, the orange tribe. You know, they're really, you know, it's really sad, isn't it?
Hoyopa.
You know, it's, yeah, Hoyopa, man, they are really sad. And it's Jacqueline and Dale, poor Dale, and who else? Baylor have been losing the whole time. That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to go down. Who else is a bad
The worst tribe of all time is the Oolong tribe from Survivor Palau. They lost lost every single immunity challenge along the way. There was no merge that season. They got just completely dissolved. It was just Stephanie. That's the worst tribe that there's ever been.
Yeah, that is the worst. And you know, that's funny. You should mention that, because that's what I was thinking of when I was out there. I'd be like, I called myself Snowfany out there. I was like, oh, I'm the only one that's going to survive. I'm going to be like, this tribe is going to go down.
Yeah. So you guys weren't the worst. And then there was a swap also. And so, you know, it's only a small sample size. I mean, Oolong went all the way down. Like, they were losing. It was just Stephanie and Bobby John, and they were still losing. And so they were the worst.
Only because they didn't do a swap.
Yeah, they didn't do a swap, you know? And they did a late merge or a late dissolve, just because they wanted to see how far it could go down. Neither of these tribes is the worst tribe.
Yeah, well, pretty bad. Like, even they're the blue tribe, you know, has a lot of aspects that are bad. You know, this whole rice thing. And, you know, when they actually did go to tribal council, it was like, what are you doing? You know?
Oh, yeah. No, they did terrible the time they went to tribal council.
It was really weird. Like, that whole episode where Drew, oh my God.
Yes.
That was crazy. Yes. That was crazy. And they went to tribal and they had, like, everybody got a vote practically.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, I'm going to vote for everyone to my left, you know?
Yeah, it was a wild tribal council. Four people got votes in that tribal council. Let's take a question about the immunity idol, because there's been a lot of fake idols this season. Were you ever worried about fake idols in Survivor, Karamoan?
No, I was never worried about fake idols because there were so many real idols.
Yeah.
That's all we worried about all the time was idols, idols, idols.
All right, let's take a question from Chris.
Hi, Rob. This is Chris from Perth, Australia. With all the fake idol shenanigans going on this season, I was thinking, wouldn't it be wise to ask for the idol note that is found with every hidden immunity idol? To me, this seems like a foolproof way to tell if someone is lying or not. Love to know what you think. Love the podcast, and I'm so happy to finally have sent in a voicemail.
Okay, well, there you go, Chris. You did it. You did it. You're on the board. Okay. So what do you think of this idea of somebody says, like, hey, Snowy, I've got an idol. And you say, I need to see the note. Show me the note or it doesn't count.
That's a great idea. Prove it.
Prove it. Let me see the receipt. You have a receipt for that thing? You got a permit?
I know. Let's go. Show me where you dug it up. Show me the hole.
Yeah. So if you found an idol now, would you hold on to the note?
Hell no. I think I think it's a good idea what Chris said, but part of the power of the idol is the mystery behind it. You know, like, who has it? But even if you know if somebody has it, are they going to play it? Is it real? I mean, everything about it is just like, you want as many variables and questions out there. And that's what really gives it the power. You know, you can play it and that gives it power. But if you hold on to it, it still has a lot of power, you know, so it can, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you're trying to say. I had Boston Rob on the show the last time I talked to him, and what he said, you know, the thing about the hidden immunity idol is, you know, having it means that you know who has it and you know that nobody else has it. And it's a big thing because you know that where it is, you don't have to be worried about like, oh my God, we got to split the vote. Who is this? If this person has the idol.
Exactly. That's what, you know, there was one point I remember when I was playing when, Reynolds had the idol, and I was like, and everyone's like, we need to flush out the idol and get rid of the idol. I was like, but why? We know exactly where it is and we know who has it. And then it goes away and then we don't know who has it again.
Right. You guys were just looking to see who had the bulge.
Who had the bulge? And we do know who had the bulge.
Yes. And that's how you know where the idol is. So the idol note is probably, hold on to it. Or should you put a fake idol and then wrap it in the real idol note and then give that to people?
I think it's worth a try. I think I think Chris's idea is good. Somebody's got to do it. All future Survivor players, try it out. But you wouldn't have I guess you would have the note if you had you could have the note and have a fake idol, though. I guess you could, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, you could.
I guess so.
Why not? I don't know. You'd just be really bad at finding it.
Okay.
You could have both. Could have a real and a fake idol.
Yeah, that'd be something. You'd be like Tony.
Did he have both?
Look, I've got in my bag of tricks, I got real idols, I got fake idols, I got idols with notes, I got a note from my doctor that says that you have to give me your idol, so I've got everything ready to go in my bag of tricks, so let's vote.
That's good. I'm assuming that was Tony, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it wasn't going to be that good if you're asking who it was.
Hey, I don't remember, man.
Okay. Let's take a question from... All right. Here's another question from Megan.
Hey, Rob, and hey, Snowy. This is Megan from Ohio. I was just wondering, with the merch coming up next week, which player do you think will be the most likely to be in a sticky situation? Love the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Megan wants to know who's more likely to be in the sticky situation. Snowy, have you heard this song? You hear every step. You're my sweet temptation. This is a sticky situation. Yeah.
Let me guess, that's on Hulu Plus.
No, it's on YouTube. That's Baylor Wilson, Sticky Situation.
What? For real?
For real, yes.
She's like a country and western singer?
Yes.
Who knew?
She's like,
you did.
She's like the Taylor Swift of Survivor.
Oh my God, where have I been? I had no idea.
Yes, I don't know. What rock have you been living under?
She has videos and shit?
Yes.
That's so funny. I gotta check this out.
Go to robhasawebsite.com/sticky-situation. It's all queued up.
Wow, I love all the innuendos that fly around.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Hey, Muffin.
Muffin.
Have you heard about Sticky Situation?
She has. She probably she produced the video. Okay, so
the question is, what couple is, who's in a sticky situation? Well, apparently Baylor is, but I think, you know, we've been sitting here talking and I'm really worried about Josh and Reed.
Okay, you think that Josh and Reed could be in the quote-unquote sticky situations? They could be in one of these?
And I'm not implying anything other than they could be in trouble.
Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, that could be... I do think that they are probably in the stickiest of situations, those two.
Well, you know, because everybody knows that Josh is a... is a player over there on his former tribe, like Baylor and Cupcake, or no, Muffin.
Muffin.
Pancake. Pancake. Muffin. She looks more like
Who's
a
muffin?
Pancake to me, seriously, than a muffin.
What? She looks like a pancake.
And Keith is Flapjack. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so I think they all know that he's a player and they've seen how great they are in challenges and everything. And I'm worried. Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. But don't, I don't want to get you too down. Let me see if I could cheer you up with a question here. This is from Daniel. Daniel has a question. Here we go.
Hey, Robin, Michael. First of all, Mike, you have been my favorite fan in that season. So I really wish you went further.
Oh. Second of all, here is my question. So how do you think alliances are going to be formed once the merge hits? Do you think all the four couples are going to be together? Because the way I'm looking at it is that now Keith is going to be back with Wes, and Wes is only tied with Josh, so you would think the four couples are going to be tied together. But then again, Missy is pretty tied with Jeremy, too, and Natalie, so that pretty much makes everything kind of a mishmash. So I want to see how would you guys think the alliances will be arranged, so to say. Thank you very much, and I'm going to end with my moniker. Take care.
Okay.
Take care, man.
Take care, Daniel. Okay. What about Keith?
I think he would be smart. You know, he should be staying with Missy and Baylor and Jacqueline and John, don't you think? I mean, like, whatever was going on with Jeremy, you know, a couple weeks ago was a little dangerous for him, and hopefully he'll talk to Wes and pull him over to this, you know, these other couples.
Yeah, I feel like for Keith, though, I mean, could he feel that good about the Missy and Baylor thing? I mean, those guys were going to vote him out last night if Dale had the idol. And so, I mean, he's got to know he's at the bottom. He's at number five in that alliance. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think he know. I mean, you know, bless him, but I don't think he really has a huge oversight of the game. Like, I don't know, is he a big fan? I don't know. He just doesn't seem to, like, Dale actually seemed to have it figured out, version of the game in his head, I think. And I think he's going to be like, I'm sticking with these guys because these guys have, you know, taken me along. He's like a gamer. I don't think he's schooled in the game. And I think Dale kind of got it a little bit more than he did.
I'm going to say this right now. If Josh and Reed come out of this thing okay, it will be by the grace of Wes and Keith. If those guys go with Josh and Reed, I think that they could come out of this thing okay.
Wow, they're the tipping point. You make a good point. You make a really good point. Because, like, it's funny, you know, Daniel, I think his name was, he said this, it was kind of the same question we had a little bit earlier. Everyone seems to think that, imagine thinking that at all, if I'm out there, you know, you're out there and you see what you're working with and you don't see, like, ooh, the possibility. You have to really rely on what you have and then try and go from there. And it's not like, you know, it's not like, ooh, the possibilities of eight people working together. Those numbers are just not going to work.
Yeah. So too big. This isn't Big Brother.
Well, whatever that is, Keith and Wes, wherever they go is, I think that's going to decide it right there. It sounds like.
Okay. Let's take a question from Jordan Parhar. He's got a question for us.
Hey, Rob and Michael, it's Jordan Parhar. What's more likely to happen this week? Ron from Toronto deciding not to send in a voicemail that says what's more likely to happen this week, or Reed and Josh surviving the next tribal council? I think it's clear that those two are the strongest pair left in the game, and I think it's going to be really hard for them to survive the next council, as our pal Johnny Rock would call it. Would love to hear your thoughts.
Now, did he ask what's more likely, that Ron from Toronto leaves a voicemail about what's better, or that Reed and Josh do survive or don't survive?
Well, I don't know the history of Ron, so I'm going to go with, it sounds like he does this all the time. So I'm going to go with Reed and Josh. I'm going to think positive, and they are going to be sticking around.
So you think
they're going to, you know, they're going to make a big move. You know, I think the guns are going to come after him, but I think they're going to make a move and something's going to happen. Okay. They could pull Jeremy in. That would be good. That would be good.
So you think it's more likely
with an idol?
You think it's more likely that Josh and Reed survive the next vote than there's a voicemail from Ron from Toronto about which thing is more likely to happen?
Sounds like Ron is going to be posing those questions every week to me, right? So that's probably going to happen. But emotionally, I'm going to go with Reed and Josh stick around. That's final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Hi, Rob and Michael. It's Ron from Toronto. What has a better chance of happening? An RHAP community member being invited to a wine and cheese Survivor viewing party, or Jeremy actually smiling next week?
Okay, what's more likely to happen? A member from the RHAP community getting invited to wine and cheese viewing party, or Jeremy smiling this next episode?
Jeremy smiling, and it has nothing to do with me. No offense, Ron. It's not up to the snowman.
Oh boy. Jeremy is very cranky. He seems like he's always like, they're so stupid. What are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, he does seem a little bit cranky, doesn't he? I think it's just whatever. That's always in the confessionals. I don't think he's doing that around the camp too much.
Yeah. And Jeremy didn't even play with Philip.
Oh my God. He's so lucky.
What would he have said if he played with Philip?
He says, I'm out of here, you know? No, Philip's not so bad. Philip is like hot and cold. You know, sometimes you're like, oh my God, what is your problem? And other times you're like, you're all right. That's the mystery of Philip. He's like, he's rational and fun and cool. And then all of a sudden you're like, what is your problem?
All right, let's do one more voicemail question.
Hi, Robin Michael. This is Jeremiah calling from Texas. So here's what I want to know. While John was deliberating his voting options heading to the tribal council, the editing showed him wearing what seems to be the merge colored box when it is so clearly the pre-merge stage of the game at that point in time. Was that a mistake on the editing's part, or does showing us this actually mean something? Rob, I've become a huge fan of the podcast. Thank you for the great work, and take care of both of you.
All right, now did you catch this, Michael, that Jeremiah is saying that he saw a scene where it looked like John was wearing the different color buff than he was wearing, than he should have been wearing.
That really surprised me. I never have noticed that kind of thing before. And I don't think that if that kind of happens and editing was messing with the footage, I don't think that really happens that often. But like, I don't know why I think they collect the buffs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I think it's just a thing where they needed a sound clip and there was something he said like in the next episode cycle and they plugged it in there, you know, to try to make the story make a little bit more sense. So it doesn't bum me out too much or anything, but I think that's the explanation for it. It's not like he got a different buff or anything like that.
I agree. I think for people who watch it, don't get so bound up about it. I don't think that's the norm. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. All right, Michael, let's talk about some of what we like to do on the show is collect some of Jeff Probst's most inappropriate quotes from the episodes when we get them. And last night, we got quite a bit from Jeff Probst and from
now you're talking. This is my kind of discussion. Inappropriate quotes.
Inappropriate quotes. So Jeff actually had quite a lot to say tonight. I've actually got a top three from Jeff Probst. All right, here we go. Here's an inappropriate, out-of-context quote from Jeff Probst, number three.
A lot of meat.
Whoa.
A lot of meat.
A lot of meat last night.
I'm sorry, that's so funny. I don't know how I missed that one.
Yeah, that's a big reward. That's a great reward.
Yes, it is a big reward. A lot of meat is a big reward, Rob.
Okay, yeah, it is. Here's number two.
A lot of heads popping into poles.
a lot of heads, but there's a lot of meat and a lot of heads bopping into poles last night.
Oh, good Lord. I feel like this is a night out in Hell's Kitchen.
Yes, yes. And number one, the number one most inappropriate out of context quote from Jeff Probst from last night.
Just because it's in there doesn't mean it's right.
Just because it's in there doesn't mean it's right.
That's my motto.
Yes.
Hey, dude, what did Drew's brother say? Like, I collect meat or something like that, or like I'm a meatologist. He said something really funny.
Yes. Okay. So you're getting into some of the things that the survivor said last night. This was Alec.
I'm a meat collector.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah, what is he talking about? I'm a meat collector.
I don't know. It makes no sense, but it's so funny. It's so goddamn funny.
And in addition to talking about him being a meat collector, and then he said this.
My skirt was blown up.
My skirt was blown up. what is this guy talking about?
He wanted somebody to collect his meat, it sounds like.
Yeah. Now, of course, Jeff's quote from last night, which was,
just because it's in there doesn't mean it's right.
It was, Similar to one of my favorite quotes from last season that Jeff said, which was this.
If you try to force it and it doesn't fit, it probably doesn't belong there.
I love this. You should create an app, man.
Okay. Well,
how many of those do you have? What else do you have?
We got a few.
It is big, it is beautiful, and you are going to love it.
Yeah.
Stay tight because we're still hot.
Yeah. All right. So then there was a few other quotes from the episode last night. There was another one from Reed. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. It was Reed talking inappropriately. First, he was very excited with the reward.
Those are big kebabs.
Yummy.
a big kebab. And also Josh also talking about Reed.
I'm so proud of Reed for pulling it out.
So it was a very inappropriate episode. I hope everybody put their kids to bed before they watched Survivor last night.
Oh, Rob, you're a genius, man. How do you how does this come about?
But I have a carefully trained ear, Snowy. I just try to listen for all of this stuff. Out of the not inappropriate things from last night's episode, here was a quote that I said that actually made my wife yell at me that I repeated in the house. This was Missy talking to Baylor headed to Redemption Island.
Love you, Bay.
Love you, Bay. Nicole said I'm not allowed to say that.
I don't know. That's like a hip term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like on Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
I said to Nicole, listen, I love you, Bay.
Why doesn't she like that?
She said, stop saying that. You're not ghetto. Well, how come Muffin's allowed to say it?
What does Muffin think, though?
Who's Muffin? Also, just in time for Halloween, we also heard about a very harrowing experience in the life of Baylor. Now, it wasn't quite what we would call a sticky situation. But it was a very scary experience that happened to Baylor. Did you catch this last night?
I don't remember.
Okay, this is a very scary thing that happened to Baylor one time.
Baylor, you were on Exile Island. What was that night like for you?
I mean, literally, you feel like a lost kid in a grocery store when you're a little kid and you can't find your parent. It's scary and it's tough and you don't know if you're going to make it.
Scary. It's scary. And I think that in honor of Halloween this week, Snowy, what I'd like to do is a Halloween tale for the ages. The story of Baylor going to the supermarket. Are you ready?
Literally the story?
Yes, yes.
Literally the story. Great.
Okay. It was a dark and scary night at King Cullen. And Muffin went down one of the aisles. But what she didn't know was that Baylor wasn't with her anymore. Baylor was in a different aisle in the supermarket. Baylor was in the produce department, but Missy was in the bakery section. Okay, are you scared yet?
I'm horrified.
And then Missy said, hey, where's...
Missy was lost in the bakery section.
Baylor
scared.
Said, where's my mom? I don't see her. I'm in the supermarket and it's scary.
She literally said that, Rob.
I literally am scared right now. It's like I see the gum. I see the honey. I see all the Dairy Queen melting over there. But where is mom? And then all of a sudden, from around the corner, here comes Muffin. And she found her. And then she saw her and said,
love you, bae.
And then that was the end of the story. That was a Halloween Halloween classic.
It's literally a classic, Rob.
It's literally so scary. So scary.
Nothing makes me literally more annoyed than literally using the word literally incorrectly.
A lot of people don't like that. All right, so let's talk about some of the things happening in the world of Survivor news. Did you know that Mark Burnett and Roma Downey are currently casting for a TLC show? Where
oh my god,
they're looking for people that God has answered their prayers.
I can't even. I can't. I'm sorry. I don't want to insult anybody. I just can't. I cannot go down that road.
All right.
I'm happy for them. That's all.
So that's exciting. Mark Burnett is very
touched by an angel, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh God. I just don't get it.
Okay. How about this? Your friend and castmate from Survivor Karamoan, Francesca, was on with Kathy Lee and Hoda this week.
I saw that. That's one thing I'm excited about. I love Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Why was Franny on with Kathy Lee and Hoda?
Well, she's a dating expert. She is a matchmaker.
Yes, yes. Now, could Francesca potentially find the right match for Muffin?
Wouldn't that be nice? That would be really great. Oh, that would be really great. Maybe it's Hoda or Kathy Lee now that she's met him.
Now, that could be a scary story also for Halloween.
Muffin was looking for her fourth or fifth husband. Man, that was one of the funniest parts of the season as well, is when Baylor was laughing at her mother, her dating history and marriage history. I thought that was great. That was genius. Yeah.
Do you want to tell the scary Halloween story of one of the marriages?
Who, me? I want to tell it?
No, all right, we'll save it for next Halloween.
I'll,
too scary.
I'll leave that up to you.
Too scary. Too scary.
Marriage is scary, period. No offense.
Yeah, Snowy, you know, of the many things I don't know about you, what is your dating situation? Are you single? Are you married?
Oh, I'm in a relationship. I've been with the same guy for I want to say like 8 years or something like that.
Okay, so you are settled down.
Yes.
Okay.
If you can call it that. Yes. Very settled. Yes.
Very settled. Very settled.
Very sweet guy. His name is Pat.
Pat. Okay, good. All right. So I feel like that's something that I never of the time that you've been on Survivor, I feel like it never came up.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really, that's that kind of stuff I never really talked about. I mean, I didn't talk about my personal life there that much. Maybe that's why they never showed me.
Okay. So I won't throw any ding marry kills at you tonight.
Oh, I'm game. I'll ding, marry, kill some people.
All right, we'll see if we have any for you. Also, Rupert, it looks like Rupert and Laura Boneham are going to have an AMA on Reddit and Ask Me Anything. Do you have any questions you want to get in for the Rupert and Laura Boneham Ask Me Anything?
Yeah, ask Rupert if he's ever shaved his beard.
Ever?
Or trimmed it.
I bet he's trimmed it at some point. Okay.
I would hope so.
All right. Let's talk about the Survivor birthdays this week, Snowy. Big Tom going to be 59.
All right. Big Tom. Way to be.
Yeah. Jan Gentry, born on Halloween from Survivor Thailand. Rory has a birthday coming up this week. Jervis, Amy O'Hara. Franny has a birthday this week. She is.
Oh, that's right.
November 3rd. And Jay Byers, are you rooting for Jay Byers to be one of the next male spokesmodel for The Price is Right?
Rob, I'm rooting for Jay Byers no matter what.
Yes.
Hey, Jay, have a great day.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from some of the survivors on Twitter, what they had to say. Jeff Probst talked about this Rice situation. He said, hashtag Survivor says, okay, as much as you sadists want them to starve, put your producer hat on. If they truly run out of food / energy, your season suffers. So Jeff took to social media to defend the move.
Disagree. you know, you gotta have, what about a couple of days of watching them starve? You know, that's fun too, right?
Yeah, because it really went to, they were like eating nonstop to,
and then we don't have any rice. It's like, let's go to the store. Let's ask Jeff for some more rice. And he gave it to them. I was stunned.
Russell Hance said, it's a shame that someone's going to actually win this season.
What, he wants everybody to lose it?
He wants everybody to lose the season. Chaos Cast tweeted, remember when it was day 6 on Survivor and we had no rice, no tarp, no comfort, and a typhoon came and no one complained? Hashtag lose on love. So again, this is the thing where this people come right off the season and then they complain about the, well, we had it harder than these guys.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't everybody do that?
Yeah,
you know, you sit there and you watch and you see somebody like pulling out a hammer and a nail and you're like, we didn't have any hammers and nails. You know, right? I've done that before. I remember seeing that. I was like, we didn't have hammers. That's what I said to my boyfriend. I'm like, oh, they gave him a hammer.
Spencer tweeted, I'm going to do this in Jeremy voice, that he says, that Jeremy's internal monologue 100% of the time is, why are y'all happy? That is Jeremy. Jeremy doesn't want to see anybody smiling.
You know, I think Jeremy actually looks like he's actually fun and funny, I think. But, you know, his wife is gone. He's tired. He's hungry. And he's surrounded by a bunch of freaks. You know?
I don't get it. Why are these people smiling? They're dumb. These are dumb people.
Oh, poor Jeremy.
They need to surround and drown their faces.
Oh, I like that, surround and drown. That's a good strategy.
All right, speaking of surround and drown, Rupert, getting ready for the Ask Me Anything, he tweeted, a night of soaking wet, cold rain, no food, hours of sitting around, and the hunger, and then intense physical activities, hashtag survivor. That is pretty much the quintessential Rupert tweet.
What he always tweets about how hard it is?
Basically tweets about that. It's almost like he just writes his tweets before the episode even starts and then just like sets them up to just go out like 8:37 and be like, immunity challenges always test you to your limits.
Maybe he only has like 6 tweets. It's like, stuck on an island, getting off a boat. Here comes probes. Gotta go to tribal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, here's where the backstabbing begins. Like, it's very much, it's maybe he just does the same ones every season.
I could talk all night about Rupert.
All right. Eliza, she tweeted, it's one night of rain, Julie. You are pathetic. Hashtag survivor. Eliza hates the quitter talk.
Right. What did she said what about Julie?
She's pathetic.
Oh, she's not pathetic, but she's right. I mean, everybody gets rained on.
Eliza hates quitters.
She does. I was afraid Julie was going to quit last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
rumor?
That shoe might still drop. Ooh, I don't know.
No, please. No.
They just spent a lot of time on it for it to not happen now.
Oh, you're right. Oh, God, don't say that. That's so depressing when somebody quits a season. Oh, it's really, really sucks. That's the worst. Remember that season where two of them quit?
Yes, Nayanka and Purple Kelly.
Oh my God, that was so horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching that season and you're like, assholes, what are you doing? Yeah, this season does not need a quitter, you know?
No, believe me.
It does not need a quitter.
Yeah, this that could be the straw that broke the camel's back on this season. I feel like people are kind of half in and half out, and a quitter is not what they need.
Oh, you know, when you're watching a good season, you know, because you're like, what's happening? And when this season, there's just a lot of like, oh, okay, that happened. So
here's one from Katie Gallagher, who I feel like is new to the Survivor social media segment. She says, why are we giving people rice? Why are people complaining about cold, wet nights from inside their hoodie? That's a good question.
Katie, it's raining. It's freezing. It's horrible out there. Back me up on this, Rob. It's terrible.
No, I get it. Really, I think the fact that they have a hoodie, I think, is what she's picking up on.
So the hoodie is supposed to protect you? It gets wet, Katie. Sorry, Katie, but the hoodie gets wet and it gets cold. It's like, Matt, you know how your undershorts feel when they get wet? Imagine that on your head.
Yes. All right, here's one from our good friend Bryce Isaiah. Bryce says that he was rooting for at FarmGuy69. He can still get freaky all week. Did you know this about Dale's Twitter handle?
It's at FarmGuy69?
Yes. Yes.
What does that mean?
We have no explanation what that is.
That is freaky. It kind of...
The freakiest freak of the season.
Makes me want to collect some meat.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm a meat collector too, Rob, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm a meat collector.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, what kind of meat do you collect?
Rob, that's for another podcast.
A lot of meat.
Those are big kebabs. Yummy.
Okay. Johnny Fairplay, he said that Missy's pretty okay looking for 65. How dare you, Johnny Fairplay?
Is she 65?
No, stop.
I have no idea. That's an old muffin.
Yeah, that is not 65. It's not 65.
That muffin's been sitting on the counter for a few years, if you know what I'm saying.
Jenna Maraska tweeted, want to reach in my TV and punch these survivors crying because they only have a pot, machete, and flint. That's all we had, you sissy newbies. Hashtag
exactly.
Survivor tweet.
Ah!
That is a Rupert tweet.
What did Rupert tweet about it? We had a pot too.
Yeah. In fairness, I was there. We'd had more than a pot and a flint and machete.
You guys had raincoats.
Yeah.
Somebody on your season had a goddamn raincoat.
Snowy, you never hear me complain about like when I was out there. Cause you know what? When I played Survivor, we had long pants, we had shorts, we had underwear, we had shirts, we had sunglasses, we had backpack. Like I never complain. I think that the newer survivors have it harder than we had it.
You know what? To me, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to complain about what it was either. You know, like I knew all that stuff was going to suck out there. So to make such a big deal of it only made it worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you knew that it was going to rain. You knew that it was going to be cold. You know, you knew that you weren't going to sleep. All of that kind of stuff when you went out there. So to get really wound up about it only made it worse. So I didn't really, you know, it sucked. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't play into it.
Yeah, I had a bathing suit both times I played Survivor. I wasn't like one of these people that have to play in their underwear for 39 days. Like that would be my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Is that what you had to do?
We didn't have our bathing suits till like, I want to say like day 6 or 7 or something like that. But that was a glorious day, mind you. It was like, cause I was so chafed. I could barely walk down the beach and I was like, dry clothes. It was great.
Yeah. Did you have to wear a skirt?
I always wear a skirt.
My skirt was blown up.
Was it blown up?
My skirt was blowing up and I was collecting meat.
I'm a meat collector.
So I
like the way he says it. I'm a meat collector.
Yeah, I mean, why does he collect it? Why doesn't he just eat it?
I don't know. Maybe he goes to like those Argentinian barbecues and he just like rakes it in. He's like, I'm taking this home and hanging it on the wall.
I'll put that in my collection. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Stephen Fishback. He tweeted last night, here come the tears. That was what Jeff said to Reed. That's an alternate title for his autobiography. There you go.
For who? Stephen's autobiography?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I didn't know Stephen was a crier.
He's a crier. Yeah, it's true. Lisey, a big fan of the Lisey tweets. She tweeted...
Wait, Lisey from Survivor?
Lisey Linares, yes.
She's funny. She was always... I thought she was really funny.
She says, LOL, Natalie wants to get down with Baylor. Hashtag Sexile Island.
That's a sticky situation out there, right?
Oh, wait, it's the remix.
You're my sweet temptation. This is a sticky situation.
Yeah. Have you effed in a supermarket?
Oh, right. I know what you're talking about. I get this reference.
Yes.
Doesn't she have like a funny video? I've seen that. I don't know why I've seen that. It's really funny.
Yes, Snowy. I got... We've got it queued up for you.
Tidy Whitey. Tidy Whitey's little boy.
Have you effed in a Dairy Queen? Yes. Kelly Wentworth, the recently departed.
Kind of genius. It's a little bit of genius, if you ask me.
She said that she was tweeting about hashtag muffin or hashtag bagel. Muffin or bagel, that's the real question. So she's in on all of the references.
Who Kelly Wentworth is?
Yes. She tweeted this morning, can't wait for @farmguy69 to talk muffins and rice on RHAP today. And he did.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay. Let's
see. Whiteys.
Let's see. You like it. Now it's stuck in your head.
That's really funny.
Okay. Here's a couple other tweets. Our own Jessica Lease, she tweeted, what's the better Christie Brothers self-assessment? I'm a meat collector or I'm basically a badass? Which do you prefer? Either this?
I'm a meat collector.
or Drew talking about himself.
So basically, I'm a badass.
What do you think? What would you prefer to be, a meat collector or a badass?
I'm a meat collector.
I'm a meat collector.
Basically,
I'm a meat collector.
Basically, I'm a meat collector.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah.
They sound alike, don't they?
He does. Jess also tweeted that she said that, did Jeff Probst say this during the episode? Baylor moving slowly. It's like she stepped in gum. Was that from the episode?
Feels like I stepped in gum. Got my Dairy Queen is melting.
Was that why she was having trouble in the challenge?
I'm a meat collector. You don't need to hit your button. I'll just say it. Just tell me when to say it.
Our own Mike Bloom, that he said, so John starts talking trash and then loses the challenge. Apparently he didn't read the Jervis Peterson rules correctly. Right? Are you supposed to talk trash after you win the challenge?
Yeah, that was pretty bad, man. I felt bad for him.
When he was like, who's the big John now?
Not you.
Yeah, he's probably an early boot on Survivor Rob's versus John's versus Mike's, right?
Yes, definitely.
Would you work with him?
Well, we'd have to have a tribe swap, I think, and then I'd work with him.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well,
those guys are always a big target.
I'm definitely giving him the fake idol.
Who's on your tribe, Rob? The skater guy, right?
Yeah, skater Rob, Boston Rob. Yeah, I'm definitely giving John Mish. I'm taking the real idol. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to take the fake idol, give him the real idol note, and then trade it to him.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
All right, we'll have a secret. We'll have a secret alliance for after the swap.
Okay, that's perfect.
Me and you.
So when Rob's, John's, and Mike's are all together.
Yeah.
Me and you.
I feel like we need a John. Who's the John that you want?
Who do we have for Johns? There's the Fincher.
Yeah.
Right?
John Fincher.
There's this John. There's going to be another John.
We need a John, and then we can have sort of like the John Snow Alliance, and then have a...
Right. We need a John Snow for sure.
Then we need like a Stark. We have a Rob Stark, John Snow Alliance.
Shit. Okay. I don't know any. Okay. I don't remember any Johns.
Yeah. All right. John Rocker. John Rocker could be the third part.
Oh, man. I could not be in an alliance with that guy.
Yeah.
However, he didn't come across as bad as I thought he was going to come across this season.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this question. Let me ask you one more serious question before we start to wrap up. And now we saw that Josh had an alliance with John Rocker. He didn't know who John Rocker was. He didn't know about the things that he said. But then once it came to light, Josh was like, I can't do this. I'm out on John Rocker. Could you, like, if you knew what he said, could you be in an alliance with John Rocker?
It depends on how much time I had with him. You know, if I was out there with him for 9 days and I find this out about him, I'm not going to compromise my game at that point. I'm just going to, I would hold on to him as long as I could. But if it was like,
whoa,
like the second I was out there, well, I am a meat collector. So the second I was out there, if I figured out who he was, I just don't think I would want to work with him. So yeah. It just depends on, you know, what would happen. Like, you know, I remember when I was going through casting, like they were going, hey, do you recognize anybody? And Jeff Kent was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, no, don't recognize anybody. And they're like, really? You don't see anybody? I'm like, well, I see Facts of Life, of course, but I don't see Jeff Kent. I didn't recognize him. And I knew somebody was there. I was like, there's got to be like a sports person here, but I didn't know it was him.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have known him. I wouldn't have known Rocker.
Yeah, and we don't know if John Rocker is going to want to have an alliance with you, of course, because John Rocker could have a problem with you since you are from New York.
Exactly. I ride the 7 train.
Yeah, he doesn't like New Yorkers.
I knew who Rocker was, but I wouldn't have picked him out. You know what I mean? Once they said, this is John Rocker, I'd been like, oh, okay. Yeah. I knew, because I used to live in Atlanta when he was on the Braves.
Yes.
And so he had a reputation down there.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right. So, Snowy, if people want to hear more from you on Twitter, of course, they could follow you at Hey Snowy, right?
Hey, yes, that is where I am if they deign to follow me.
Now, one of the things we like to do is give out a hashtag at the end of the show. If somebody made it all the way through this insanity, I like people to
tonight with us.
Yes. Yes. I like people to give us a hashtag to tweet to us and let us know they made it to the end. We got a lot of choices.
There's only one.
Yes. Is it this?
I'm a meat collector.
Hey, ding, 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 ding.
Hashtag meat collector.
Meat collector, please. Hashtag meat collector.
Yes. All right. Well, Snowy, it was very fun to get to catch up. I'm glad that we were able to do this. I got to get to know you a little bit. We found out all these things about you, in addition to being a meat collector. That you are a very funny guy. You like inappropriate quotes. Yeah, you're in a relationship.
Yes,
we learned
part of my meat collection.
Yes. All right. Well, Snowy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you you coming on, and love you, bae.
Thank you. Don't get into any sticky situations.
I'll try not to. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, take care.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Michael Snow answering your voicemails and talking social media back here on Rob Has a Podcast. Well, we are gearing up for something that's really momentous in the history of Rob Has a Podcast. This upcoming week, in the beginning of the week, Nicole and I will be getting together to record our 1,000th episode of Rob Has a Podcast. And I'm really, really excited about what we're doing for it, because what I am doing is having you guys, the listeners, call in and leave your favorite moments from Rob Has a Podcast. And then we're going to pull all the clips that you guys call in for. And then what we'll do is we're going to select a bunch of the clips that you guys call in and suggest, and then play the clips and then come back and talk about them. So if you want to hear your favorite moment from the history of Rob Has a Podcast, go ahead and call into our voicemail number. Go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, or you could go to 323-282-RHAP. Call in, say your name, say what your favorite moment is from which episode, and say why you liked it. And then we'll go ahead and put those all together. Probably have that up for you guys by Tuesday of next week for our 1,000th episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Really, really excited. So, of course, lots of fun stuff as well coming up next week. Parvati is back next week. And then Josh Wiggler is going to be answering your voicemails on the podcast next Thursday. So that's going to be another big show as we talk about the merge and try to figure out what's going to happen on Survivor next week. Of course, Jessica, Lisa, and I will be back to talk about The Amazing Race this upcoming Friday. And we'll go ahead and talk to you guys at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time this Friday night, like we do every single week. Fun season of The Amazing Race, if you've been following it. Episode number 6 coming up this Friday night. And then, of course, everything going on post-show recaps. We've got our Walking Dead recap Sunday nights. I also recap Sons of Anarchy right now. We've got our Once Upon a Time podcast with Kurt Clark as well happening. And, of course, I do a weekly Seinfeld rewatch as well. That's that's all on postshowrecaps.com. Thanks so much to those of you guys who became patrons this week. There's always enough room for the patrons in our kitchen. A lot of people came on this week. Very, very excited as well to have more and more people in the Facebook group. Thank you guys so much. If you want to see more about that, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And something just a little bit different. There's a conference coming up that I'm going to be speaking at. It's a virtual conference. It's for business podcasters, but I think if you have any sort of a podcast, there's going to be plenty of relevant information. If you want to check that out, it's going to be taking place in January. I've got an affiliate link for the conference pass. There is an early bird special that's going on right now for that. And you can get into the conference for, I believe it's $97 if you sign up by the end of the day, Friday. And then I think that price goes up to like $197 if you wait. If you want to find out more information about myself and what I'll be talking about. I could tell you what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about how to have a community that doesn't suck, but there's going to be a lot of other people there who are actual like business people, and they will be talking about a number of different subjects. So if you're a podcaster or an aspiring podcaster and you want to hear about stuff like that, check out that conference link, robhasawebsite.com/business podcast to find out more details about the Business Podcaster Summit, which is a virtual conference taking place at the end of January. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for me. Thank you guys so much. All you people, amazing people who make it to the end of these podcasts. It really, really means a lot to me. Can't wait to come on back and talk about the 1000th episode of Rob as a Podcast. It's going to be a really, really fun show. So much good stuff going on right now. Thanks to everybody. Have a great weekend. Happy Halloween. And make sure, check your candy for razor blades, and have a good weekend, everybody. Bye.